Roman Reigns, the 70th NWA anniversary show, Ian Riccaboni, and Jimmy Rave, next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant-EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. This is Original Glow Girl Little Egypt, and you're listening to Shining Wizards.
I have a small dick.
God damn it! Woo!
Matt's dying.
All right.
Right into the microphone. Welcome, everyone, to another live edition. It's always live. Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Kevin, it's wrestling talk.
I think it's also talk about wrestling.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Shining Wizards Matt.
Matt's here.
Here he is.
Matt now joins us live on the Shining Wizards Hotline. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. This is very reminiscent of my time in WCW with Demolition.
That's right.
We were a solid threesome.
Demolition.
Demolition
was my favorite WCW tag team of all time. Imagine what Demolition's theme song would have been if they were ever in WCW.
Here comes the X! And here's the Smasher!
Because you remember when the Nasty Boys went and it was like, we're the boys. We're the boys. Can you find it?
I kind of like that version of their theme music.
But imagine if it was like Demolition. Where? What are you like? What would you do?
I'm Axe.
I'm Axe.
And I'm Smash.
And I'm Crush. And do 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 do
Crush, brother.
Do 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 do. We're the boys.
Time for Nasty Sensation. Get ready for Pity City. We're the Nasty Boys. We got a bad reputation.
I hate the Nasty Boys. I wanted to put them as my least favorite WCW tag team.
Everybody talks, but we know talk is cheap.
They just sucked.
Hold on, I gotta hear the chorus.
We're the Nasty Boys.
Jesus. We're the boys. We're the Lloyds. We're the Mongoloids.
I mean, I give them credit. They always matched, but that's about it, man.
They had some great runs.
I get it. I just don't like them. Ever.
The whole t-shirt over the tights.
Forget the runs in wrestling. I want to know what ran up Brian Knobbs' butthole.
Butthole reference.
BrianKnobbsButthole.com.
They're going to be making the scene soon in our area.
Is that a real thing?
What?
BrianKnobbsButthole.com?
I wouldn't type it in on your laptop. That was not a real thing.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Are you sure?
But it is available. Go to GoDaddy. Get a deal.
Butthole.
Should we buy Brian Knobbs' butthole.com and we re-up
let's see what happens.
Our web service?
That's not a thing.
All right. Strong open.
Hey, you guys get a lot of robocalls on your cell phones? Or
yes. Every recently, day. I've been getting a lot more, and it's very
And you get them spoofed like with your area code and your like the first three digits and everything, right?
Sometimes.
Oh, I get them all the time. It's fucking, it's putrid is what
I
it
just
is.
Pick it up and then I hang up.
What I'm also getting?
What
is mailers from independent wrestling companies?
Ooh, tell us who's got a show coming up, Kev.
I don't know. I think it already happened, but it was an SWF show, and they sent me. I guess I don't know what happened, but I guess when I was younger, I was on a lot of these mailing lists for the independent companies, like not email lists, like actual physical home address snail mail lists, and I think it was like NWS or SSCW or IW, one of them, and somehow they get transferred. I guess you could sell them.
Oh yeah, that's big money.
You could sell them to, and then I get one from SWF, Rob Banner, who no problem with, I like Rob Banner, and but there it has a picture of the event, but then the print, I guess the caption, if you will, or the narrative is upside down.
It's a lot of money wasted right there.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because the show already happened anyway. So
yeah, I think it came in between last week's show and this week's show.
Well, you know.
So I still have it though. So we'll post a picture up on the Instagram. Again, I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody, but it was just hysterical.
Better late than never.
You remember what I'm talking about? Those little postcards that you would get in the mail. It would just be like it'd have your name on the sticker, like. Then on the back would be the...
Yeah. Like, just postcard mailings, of course.
Yeah. So...
Did you realize something I never realized as a kid but makes complete sense? Like, when WWE used to do, like, send your cards to Get Well Matilda and send your cards, like, Get Well Hulkster, like, right. when Earthquake squashed them and stuff, those were nothing but a method to bulk up their mailing lists.
It's brilliant. Then you get the catalogs...
Yeah, everything.
I love getting those catalogs. I might not have bought anything, but I love getting those catalogs.
Yeah, and they used to include them right inside like the WWF magazine for years too. They'd be like 20 pages that would pull out.
God, those shirts were great.
They were awesome. You know what? I'm pissed off. I never bought them as a kid. Like George Animal Steel said, "I'm an animal lover," and it had like his face on like one of the letters and stuff.
You know, there's a website, I believe it's, or an Instagram. It's called WrestlingForSale.com or WrestlingForSale on Instagram. And they have, like, if you want to find a shirt that you can't find from back in the day, they will find it and they will get it.
Yeah, but you're gonna pay for it.
Wait, an actual shirt or are they like reprints?
No, like an actual shirt.
Because there's companies that do like reprints of the old.
They'll find the original.
Yeah, like those stupid like 80s. You ever see those ads on Facebook like 80s tees?
Yeah.
And they have like wrestling shirts, but they're from the 90s. Like they're fucking. I stick away from those. But Wrestling for Sale, I believe, has like legit like any shirt you want to find, they will find it.
That's pretty cool.
But you pay, bro. They're like,
well, of course you're gonna pay.
It's like
sure.
90, 65, one and change.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Those things are not. I've looked because I follow them on Instagram and I've seen some of the stuff they post and they sell stuff and it's.
Ooh. I feel special now because I bought an authentic Sunny Baby tee that she had from a private collection. Wait. Relax, it was for my wife. You creep! Don't look at me like that.
Wait,
back when we were at Legends of the Ring.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
No, Sunny had some of her old T-shirts, like you said, original release shirts, and I bought one, and it's got to be in my wife's closet somewhere.
Can you blame her for not wearing it?
No, but she does wear her Shining Wizard shirts.
There you go. And you can get your Shining Wizard shirts at ShiningWizards.com. /merch. Well, if you just go to ShiningWizards.com.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a one-stop shop, but I figure, you know, if you want to get right. If you can't wait another click.
Then type more and wait longer.
Give you the inside information.
So I continue to be awkward in public with wrestling fans.
Sounds about right.
That's okay, yeah.
After the show last week, me and Kevin went to the Brown Bear Pub.
Ooh, 104 Harrison Avenue?
That's West right. Orange. 50 cent wings all week.
That's awesome.
This week, and $3 wings. Domestic beers.
That's it.
So check them out if you're in the area. But me and Kevin went out, and then my wife called me, and she got done with work early, so she wanted to meet up. So I said, okay, we'll go to the Applebee's. In Parsippany. Let me tell you about the Applebee's in Parsippany.
Tell us about the Applebee's in Parsippany's.
Nothing beats getting together than saying we're going to the Applebee's in Parsippany.
I like that Applebee's.
Here's the thing.
All right, here you go.
In our area, my wife hates Buffalo Wild Wings because everything is fried and she feels like shit after she
cheese curds, bro.
Good for her.
They're fried still, stupid.
They're delicious still.
Whatever.
No fried foods.
All right, she's not a big fan because every time she eats there, she feels like shit afterwards. Fair enough. I can respect that.
Okay.
Houlihan's, their kitchen closes at like 11 o'clock.
Because who wants to fucking make money, right?
Sons of bitches.
I think they close at midnight. But the Applebee's is open at like fucking 2 o'clock. And I didn't want to go to the diner because I think we went to the diner like Sunday night.
Okay.
I'm like, let's just go to the Applebee's. I'm already out. I've had a couple drinks with Kevin. I had a couple drinks here.
Matt's feeling randy.
Feeling good.
Yeah.
I remember he had to leave.
Oh.
We went to the Applebee's. Fucking Applebee's is.
All right, what time did you go? Place. This is probably like 10:30, 11.
Okay. We go in, we sit down, we order our drinks, whatever. These two white dudes come in. They sit next to us. They got fucking dreadlocks. Two white dudes.
Okay.
Right? With the dreadlocks, right?
Okay.
One dude orders a water and a Diet Pepsi. And that's it. Like, they're regulars there.
All
right. Like, they knew the bartender.
Are they recovering?
I don't know. It was weird, right? And the kid was like, look what I found today. He pulled a ring out of his pocket and a disposable camera where half the pictures were taken.
Where did
I don't know.
You didn't.
I was real fucking skeeved because they were like.
So when do we determine that they're wrestling fans?
So they were sitting like I was at the corner of the bar and we were really close to them. They get up and leave. Okay, cool. They go over to the other side of the bar. They know some people.
Is it a full bar? I'm guessing, right?
Full bar.
Full bar.
This kid comes in. He sits down. Instantly sees the Adam Page shirt.
Uh-oh.
He's like, Adam Page sucks. The Bullet Club sucks. And I'm like, okay. So I turn to say something to my wife, and I'm talking to my wife, and he's like, what'd you say? And I'm like, okay, buddy, relax. Talking to my wife. Oh, I'm sorry. So then my wife is like,
oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
no. No, she's like, go ahead. Tell him about the podcast. And I'm like, I really don't want to talk to this guy. I'm out with my wife, right? And wrestling fans.
That's a good wife, though.
Wrestling fans make me uncomfortable because they're all fucking awkward.
Yeah, but you know she's doing that to break his balls a bit, too.
Well, because last time.
I don't care.
Last time we were at this Applebee's, same guy was there, and I had a Matt Riddle shirt on. And just before we got it to leave, people were having fun at the bar, and he fucking slammed his hand down on the bar and yelled, stop shaking my beer! And then we got up to leave, and he was like, Matt Riddle, I know Matt Riddle. My roommate went to college with him. We would see him wrestle all the time. I was like, cool. And then we left, and my wife was like, why didn't you tell him about the podcast? I'm like, because wrestling fans they make me uncomfortable. And I'm an uncomfortable person when I have to talk about wrestling.
That's why we need to get more business cards printed so we can just slip the card and be on our way.
So then, like, I try and start talking about wrestling with him, and he's like.
Oh, you did?
So this guy's a regular, too.
Okay. So like he took his shirt off, like he had like a Black Craft wrestling t-shirt on. He was like, Aleister Black used to do the Black Craft wrestling, and I love it. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I don't know anything about that. So then he like starts talking about New Japan. I'm like, yeah. And then my wife's like, oh, what's going on in New Japan? So I'm trying to talk to her.
And now she's busting his balls.
I'm like explaining to her. And then he's like, you know who my favorite wrestler is right now? And I'm like, who? And he's like, Lana. And I'm like, this fucking conversation is over. I'm done fucking talking to this weird person. Wow. Lana should never be anyone's favorite wrestler.
All right.
So at that point, I was like, all right, cool. And then I just went back to my wife. And then he was like, so tell me about this podcast. And I was like, oh, we're the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
No.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't give a shit if he listens. I'm not going back to that fucking Applebee's, so that ain't happening.
What? That's a good place.
Yeah, go after fucking, I mean, it's probably your fucking seedy, weird, towny people that go to the West Orange bars that you like. I don't like that shit. Those fucking people are weird. Because then the dreadlock kids were outside hiding shit in the bushes as we were leaving. Weird fucking shit going on. A lot of heroin and meth in that Parsippany area.
I was just
going
to say that. That's 46, man. That's right on 46. You can get anywhere you want to go.
That's right.
Jump
right on 80. I read the police blotter, all right? I know what goes on around there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, we had Lance Hoyt, you know? And he's like, I've heard of you. You know, it's not like I Googled you. Like, I've heard the name. And I'm like, all right, cool.
It's a wrestling move, a derp a derp.
So
did he say that?
No, he didn't say that.
See, after 7 years, that name finally pays off.
So,
some drunkard at the Applebee's in Parsippany knew what the Shining Wizards were.
Oh wait, I have another story too.
I think it's better that people like Cody Rhodes know who the Shining Wizards are than a
no,
fucking drunkard.
Look, I'll take anybody.
The townie at Applebee's
is
number one.
Okay,
I'll take anybody that knows who the Shining Wizards are. I'm just super awkward. So then yesterday. Me and Rhiannon go to ShopRite.
Where?
In Parsippany.
Oh, brother. Wait.
Well, I'm the king. I'm the king of ShopRite, right. Parsippany.
I know we're going real local, but I know that you people have like these awful places in your town too, so you could probably relate. Is the ShopRite in Parsippany better, about the same, or worse than ShopRite in West Orange?
100 times better.
Okay. All right. So that's what we're dealing with.
So I take offense to that.
So
you should.
I
and
do.
Then you shouldn't.
So we walk in. Rhiannon wants to make a bunch of food for her sister, who is pregnant with their second child.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, nice.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Let's welcome to the show the unborn child of Matt's sister-in-law.
Yes.
How are you doing today, ma'am?
I
or
love
sir?
It. People having sex. Great. Leaving that shit in like a man.
So Rhiannon is gonna make a bunch of food for her and then freeze it so that when she has the baby,
Matt's
she can
just power through.
I have to power through.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
don't be sorry. Don't ever apologize. So she. Because that's what makes it funny, when you guys just laugh over me. It really does actually come across extremely funny when you listen back.
Leave that shit in like a man.
So she's going to cook all this food and then freeze it for her and then give it to her so that she has easy meals to make when she has the baby. So that's one less thing she has to...
Wait, she's got to be close to having the baby. She's not like 8 weeks pregnant.
No. It's probably like 3 or 4 months away. My wife is going to literally give her enough food for like 6 months.
But Kevin.
No. I'm with him.
No, but why would she make food? She can just go to Applebee's and have wrestling guy give her some food.
But you can't go to fucking Applebee's with a newborn.
Those
people don't wash their hands.
Warsh.
So here we are. We're going to go food shopping and we're going to make dinner and we go down aisle three. And there is Patreon supporter Dan Rusinello.
Woo!
Who I instantly confuse for his brother Anthony and ask him how the baby is doing.
You're an ass.
And Dan is the one that retweets us every single time.
So Danny goes, you know, I'm Danny, right? And I go, yes, but I was just asking to be nice. And then I awkwardly just stood there and I was like, thanks for supporting the show.
Oh my God.
And it was like, I couldn't wait to get out of my skin.
But I don't consider Danny like a fan. I consider him more of like a friend of
the
show.
I was just, I am fucking awkward. Eventually, I had to go bring the milk back to the milk aisle.
Place? Milk spot?
We needed a bigger...
The cow? I had to bring it back to the actual cow?
We needed a bigger bottle of milk. And then I saw...
Where's his story going?
And then I saw Danny again.
This is
worse
than the couple dying in Newark.
And then
this is better.
No, this is very wrestling related. And then I had a normal conversation with Danny where I apologized for being a fucking awkward creep. And then we talked about wrestling to the point where my wife came to find me. She goes, where have you been? And I was like, I've been talking to Danny. She's like, you just left me in the aisle. I don't know if you went home. I don't know where the fuck you were.
Matt, I'm gonna give you some advice.
I was like sweating like a fucking. I'm sweating hard down here.
There's a. I opened the door, but
I cut the heat too.
Okay,
so should be.
It's
because I'm fat. That's all.
There's this guy, right? He's a regular at the bar, and everyone calls him Root because he calls everybody else Root. The guy came up with a brilliant system where he doesn't have to remember anyone's name ever in his life. He just goes, "Hey, Root, 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 Root." That's what you got to be. You got to become that guy. So you don't have to remember names. I'm thinking about becoming that guy. Where like you just don't remember anyone's name and just call them. You just make that your gimmick. Where like you
but like I know Danny. I played softball with Danny. He got a fucking Shining Wizard sign on Monday Night Raw for us.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And let's be honest. Danny and Anthony do look
They're twins, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know. Are they?
Keep on digging that hole.
I'm not upset about
that. 100%. I'm calling them twins, and Danny will let me know tomorrow when he listens.
Can we call him?
I think he's at SmackDown.
Can we call Dan Amon? He knows them both.
Well, Dan actually is one of our Patreon supporters.
Yes, he is.
He sent us a question tonight, but we'll get to questions later.
I'm not going to feel guilty about not knowing whether or not they're twins or not. I just know they look very similar. But I know them, like you said, softball and stuff like that. So, but still.
This is somebody I've like met once or twice, like... Fuck me. I am just an awful.
Yeah, you really are. I don't know where this came from either, because you're a pretty social guy.
Like, I want to get back to Matt's thing before about talking. You're a wrestling fan, Matt, correct?
Yes.
Anthony? Tony, you're a wrestling
Sometimes.
Fan, correct?
Anthony.
I don't know why I said that.
I like it.
I'm a wrestling fan.
Kevin's in like teacher mode.
I'm like, but the last thing, I'm with you, Matt. The last thing I want to do, or the last thing I feel comfortable doing, is talking to somebody in public that also just happens to be a wrestling fan. Like, I don't approach anyone. Do you?
No, I don't approach people, but if somebody starts talking wrestling, like, I'll jump in.
Yeah, but there has, like, I've seen people in wrestling t-shirts before.
And you've never gone up to them.
I won't, like, because Why?
No. That's weird. That's kind
right, of... and that's how this conversation started. I get it. He was, and I shook his hand before I left the bar, and I said thanks for the conversation. He was like, sorry if I was bothering. I was like, no, it's not a bother. I'm just an uncomfortable person.
You said that?
Yes, especially when I'm out with my wife. My wife hates. She doesn't hate it. She tolerates it.
The host,
I don't get a lot of time with my wife.
The host of an award-winning podcast for 7 years.
That's right.
The only award we've won was wrestling. On the side of a fucking soup can.
Oh, stop. We've won awards. I don't remember which ones. But
what awards? By who? The fucking Ben Roberts Podcast Award?
No, there were something like that, maybe. I don't remember. I don't. This is how important they were. I don't remember.
You remember that time? What's that? That end of the year stuff
where we have that fucking
where we have to like stay up all night and vote like 10,000 times for ourselves that we still lose.
Yes, because it's always like busted open that wins and
yeah, but you know
or
what?
Chris
at least,
Jericho.
Yeah, but no, but some of those like at least we were in the conversation. It was like not Sam. It was
yeah, because
open.
We wrote our names in like 20 times a day.
No, we have fans that did that too.
Yeah, the guys from Parsippany and Applebee's. We gotta get this competition. It's very prestigious. The Shining Wizards need to win them all the competitions.
That's right. That's what we need.
All right, whatever. Look, it's just awkward. It's just awkward. It's awkward because.
It's all right. It's okay. Whatever.
Like, what? What do you want to talk about? Like, we're out in public. Like, what do you want to talk about? Like, the only newsworthy stuff is what happened last night. Like, that's a... Last night's Raw was fucking off the charts. All around.
All right.
All right. Started low, started real low. Real
I didn't
bummer.
Know where he was going, Kevin. It's nice to see that the segue actually came around.
Started real low, and then it just kept going up, and it just kept getting better and better, and then it peaked at, like, 11:10, and you were like, what?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's what I was like.
It was a really strange night on so many levels. There was so, like you said, there was so much good about the show, but yeah, oof. In case you guys didn't know, I don't think we're breaking any news here because, you know, the folks that listen to us. Yeah, Roman Reigns opened the show and let everybody know he's suffering from leukemia. And as a matter of fact, I had no idea that he was in remission. I had no idea that he never.
I don't think anyone did.
It's crazy. And from what I've read, not too many people really knew what he was gonna open the show with.
There were rumors yesterday afternoon that he was hurt and he was pulling out of the Crown Jewel match.
Well, we got more info on that later, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that, trust me. But now
he was kept off house shows by from reports was that he was given the weekend off, and that's as far as that I read. I mean, I saw the tweet that
said... Well, the speculation was that he was hurt. Because it's like, why else would he be taken off? He's got like a high-profile match coming up, you know? And the whole thing with the Shield, I mean, that's the big story on Raw right now.
Yeah,
which is a bigger story in the terms of the direction of the creative of Raw right now, which is completely done a 180.
Yeah, but yeah, and in doing that 180, a lot of like, I will say good at like the greatest part... And even interesting at a minimum.
Everything was fantastic, I thought.
I don't know about fantastic, but
just a generalization was just...
Like, motherfucking Lashley, I could do without that. Like, you know how that sticks in my craw.
You don't like Leo Rush, huh?
No, I like Leo Rush. I think the guy's super talented. The hype man thing?
I think he's so good in that role.
No,
I know people don't like him.
It's
annoying, dude. No, I think he's good. I think he's so good in that role. And he comes across like everything is natural. Everything is like so... Like, that's a natural charisma that you really just can't teach.
But
to me.
I never liked the guy at ringside having a live microphone.
That I could do without. I'll agree with you.
Reminds me of...
What about Jimmy Hart? With the megaphone.
Yeah, but
that's
more...
Different.
Like, he didn't sit there going like, come on, Lashley!
Who used to do that?
Carver. What was his name? Washington Carver?
Oh.
Remember?
No,
and then he got fired because he said
Washington. Abraham Washington.
There you go. And he got fired because he said something on the live mic, right?
I don't know if that was
when he was doing it at ringside, though.
Yeah,
was
I think it was.
I
go to the Google.
So most... So long story short, Tony Roman Reigns announces that he's got leukemia and he's relinquishing the Universal Championship because naturally he's going home to spend time with his family and go into recovery. Completely understood. Throws an entire monkey wrench into the rest of what's going to happen with the Shield? What's going to happen to Crown Jewel? Nobody knows. But of course, you know, the emotion is there, you know? And from what I read, like I said, very few people knew that's what he was going to say. Because you can hear it with the announcers, too. They went down everything with Crown Jewel. They went down everything with the Shield. And then, like, a complete turn once he made the announcement. It was, like, you know, super serious, like Michael Cole, Jerry King, Lawler mode, you know?
Yes.
Somber, quiet. Completely understandable. And this is a point that I made to Kevin and Matt when we were talking about it yesterday. Roman Reigns, yes, this is an absolute tragedy, but it goes to a general point. If you want these guys to make a connection with the audience, you have to let them speak from the heart. Roman Reigns did it when he had the opportunity to sit for a one-on-one during the snowstorm a few years ago when he was trapped in Connecticut. He did the same thing when he was on the air with Sam Roberts. When he speaks from the heart, he's very charismatic.
Yeah, and this is where I disagree with you 100%. I agree with you that when it sounds like he's speaking from the heart, it definitely works. And let's not kid ourselves. That snowstorm stuff was designed for him to speak from the heart. That was meant for him to speak from the heart and come across that way. This was real life, and I don't include that in a wrestling promo because that was real. That was as real as it gets.
No, but what I'm saying is if you give somebody opportunity to be who they really are and speak from emotion.
You're trying to tell a story when you're Roman Reigns, when you're Joe, and you're being affected by cancer where 99% of the people watching the program and there have in some way, shape, or form been affected by that. I think it's a completely different thing, and I don't think it has anything to do with wrestling.
Yeah.
No, but it's...
I know what you're trying to say.
I'm not equating something serious like this with cutting a run-of-the-mill, you know, storyline wrestling promo. But it goes to the point where if he came out and he was just more like, this is who I am from the beginning, I think he gets a lot more people behind him, a lot more support.
Yeah, but this is, and I know what you're trying to say. I just think you're grasping it in a wrong direction. Like, if they wanted to make him be, like, say if he was in a program with, you know, Drew McIntyre or Braun Strowman, and they wanted to just be like, hey, listen, don't do your normal big dog, this and that. Tell him who you are and tell him why you're going to beat this guy, this and that. Then that's okay. This, he got reactions because, and like we said yesterday, wrestling fans are human. Like Matt said.
Well, some of them.
You're exactly.
No, but at the end of the day, when it comes to stuff like that, they're not super douche, disrespectful fucks.
Well, if you paid attention, if you paid attention to social media last night, and I could probably name 20
trolls.
People off
those
the top
are
of
trolls.
My head. And some of them were not trolls, Kevin. Some of them were like, you think this is a work? You think that they would give him cancer to get sympathy with the crowd? I saw it all over the place. And, dude, I'm with you. I put my face in my hands the same way you did. But there were legitimate people wondering if it was a work.
Then they know nothing about wrestling.
Well, that's exactly my point.
Anything that any serious announcement, whether it be a retirement, whether it be an injury, whether it be forfeiting, when stuff like that goes down.
But you came across this, right? Like,
I didn't see any of that.
Did you not?
Yes, I saw.
It was a lot, dude.
Now,
people actually came out and were like, if you really think this is a work, that's more fucked up than actually thinking.
I saw
it,
the,
you know?
I think this is a work, the, I don't like Roman Reigns, but I hope he gets better. Like, stop. Just eliminate that first half. Nobody gives a shit how you feel about him. Wish him well and move on with your day.
That's it.
You, as a wrestling fan, are making all the other wrestling fans look like fucking morons when you do stupid shit like this.
I hate how Roman Reigns is booked, but I still wish him well in his future.
Like,
yeah,
stop.
But it's great to have that feeling.
I've seen.
But at this point in time, like, you don't need to say that. Why not just say, it sucks, you're in our prayers, we got your back. And like Matt said,
right. Fuck cancer or whatever.
And yeah, the smart exactly. people have done that.
But
other people are just fucking, as you know, mouth breathers, fucking window lickers.
But I
fucking
saw that you put your face in your hands. I like the anger, by the way. But yeah, that's not what I feel, but that's what I saw all over the place yesterday and even this morning. It's out there.
And listen, at the end of the show, don't get me wrong, if at the end of the show, after the Dean Ambrose turn, if maybe you felt that way, like, then I could see that because they ended up doing what they had to do and turned it into something more on such a short notice.
There were so many people in the crowd going, why now? Why tonight? Why did you have to
I totally
this?
Get it.
It
I
was
totally
crazy.
Understand it. I totally understand it, and I would have done the exact same thing.
And he had the balls
you
to
wait,
walk
you would
out.
Have done the exact same thing what? Ask why or make the turn?
Make the turn.
Okay. Because I think it was brilliant.
No, it absolutely was, but it was also sick that they chose to have Dean Ambrose go through the crowd and just everybody yelling at him, why'd you do it? Why tonight? Why of all nights? Why tonight?
Because that's brilliant.
You still have a business to run, and leukemia is something that he can, and I think he will overcome.
He will.
And I think he will be back, and the show, as I think you said it, the show must go on.
Yeah.
You know, they fucking Kevin said that? They continued the pay-per-view, and Owen Hart fucking died. Like, come on. Like, this is a business. This is a company. We may not agree with everything they do, but the show must go on. And it was like the perfect storm. It was one of the most emotionally invested Raws that I've ever watched.
And I just want to say this about leukemia, because it is a blood disease. It's a blood cancer. And I have a lot of experience with this as a kid. My little brother had passed away from this disease, from this cancer. It's absolutely insane. But the treatment today with the blood is so good. You could be in like stage four and you could be treated and you could still live well. And Roman Reigns will probably wrestle again. And I'm not discouraging, I'm not downplaying what he has. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. But the medical science in 2018 is so ridiculous right now. And they never actually specified, probably to their credit, which there's definitely many different types of leukemia. So we don't know which one he has, and it could probably – we don't know if it's going to be treated with chemo. We don't know if it's going to be treated with this and that. But I have a very good feeling that Roman Reigns will be wrestling again. That's
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, you know, look, Daniel Bryan had a broken neck. He was never going to wrestle again, you know.
Same Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels killed his back. He was never going to wrestle again.
He found Jesus, though, and Jesus fixes everything. Fucking hate Shawn Michaels.
All right, well, we can get into that. You want to talk DX?
But yeah, I mean, this is the most I've been invested in a wrestling show, I would honestly say, in the WWE since CM Punk, John Cena, Money in the Bank, when you didn't know if Punk was signed or what his deal was.
Let me ask you something. When I sent in our text, when I said, whoa, you were like, what? Were you watching Raw?
Yes. So I watched it on the PlayStation View. So the stream, it lags a couple seconds behind. By the time you had responded, I had already seen what happened.
Okay.
Which is when I sent the holy shit text, may have been after he made the announcement.
Gotcha.
Well, quick hits. Elias was getting shit on by Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin ate a guitar.
I thought that was brilliant.
You know what? Here's exactly what went through my mind. Elias is in the ring. I said, oh shit, not again. But I give him credit. He can fucking play guitar.
Fuck yeah, he can.
He can play. They let him actually play yesterday. He played, man. Then Corbin came out when he was trying to do the concert again. And when he's fucking telling him get losses, I'm like, okay, now we have something interesting for Elias to do. And he fed him that. Bam! Awesome. I'm turned around on Elias. This has potential. I'm even turned around on Baron Corbin with that.
Constable Corbin?
Yeah, because fuck him anyway.
Yeah, buddy.
What was the other turn that I was really into?
Braun?
Yes. Braun coming out, talking shit to Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman cuts an amazing promo.
As always.
Brings in the whole Roman Reigns thing, gives it the feeling, gives it the real emotion, and then says, like, all just builds up Brock again. And then Braun comes out, he tells him he's going to get these hands. And when he turns around, bam, Claymore gives him the Claymore. That was awesome, too. That was, oh man, are we ahead of schedule? Yeah, this is our guest.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Ian Riccaboni. Mr. Riccaboni, you're with Matt, Kevin, and Tony. How are you tonight?
Hey, Matt, Kevin, and Tony. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Great. We're just talking a little bit of Monday Night Raw, a little wrestling talk. As somebody in the wrestling business, and we have been doing this podcast for 7 years, I was just explaining how awkward I am in public with wrestling fans. How do you deal with the fame?
You know, it's actually super flattering for me, because I was always the kid growing up that I'd bug my mom to take me, you know, an hour, 2 hours early down to the wrestling events down in Bethlehem and Allentown, Pennsylvania, to try and meet the wrestlers and to try and, you know, meet some of the guys involved. And one of the first times we went down, it was at Staebler Arena. We got to meet Shawn Michaels. And so that might've been one of the worst things that could happen, because then you think you're going to meet somebody every time. But I'm just super flattered. And whether it was All In Weekend, which was, on another level, where just everybody seemed to recognize you, or something like when we got to Las Vegas, where our hotel is the venue. It's a pretty cool experience for somebody that has always been a fan like myself and had always wanted to get into the wrestling business. And it's still pretty neat. I'm still super flattered every time somebody recognizes who I am, because it's still pretty new to me. I'm only, I've been with Ring of Honor for 4 years, but I've only been the host of the TV show for two. So it's still a fun experience. It's still pretty cool. And I get to be the one when I'm with Colt to say, "Hey, Colt, don't you need to be somewhere?" Because the lines are a little bit bigger for Colt. And, sneak him off to get a snack or a soda or something.
That's funny. And you actually kind of brought up something that struck a chord with me about, like, discovering professional wrestling for the first time and then letting your family know, who may not have always been wrestling fans. I don't know about yours, but I know my dad watched it a little bit. My mom hated it. So is there any sort of like acceptance level? Like, do they like be like, "Oh God, he likes wrestling. What are we going to do?" Was that anything that you had to deal with, or was everyone pretty like, "Oh, he wants to drive 2 hours to a wrestling show. We got to take him."
You know, for my dad used to work about 60 to 80 hours a week. And so anything that he could involve me in, and just something that I liked, that would be something that he knew that I could kind of sit down and relax, and he could relax and maybe have my mom, go to work or do some things around the house. He was four. Although, as I got older, it was one of those things for my dad where, "Hey, haven't you grown out of this yet? Haven't you moved on to something different?" And so, for my mom and dad, I was always into wrestling. And, I think of my little son, Zach, right now, who is just under 2 years old, and he loves Thomas the Tank Engine. He likes Paw Patrol. But apparently for me, as a very young kid at his age, my obsession was wrestling. So I had a neighbor across the street. I'd grown up in a trailer park. I was born in a trailer park. And I had a neighbor, Pat Spat, who used to watch me as a kid. And her husband, Bob, used to put on wrestling tapes. And he was a fan. And so, it was this thing where I would be dropped off there. When my mom would get back from work, or my dad would get back from work, when I was 1, 2, 3 years old, I'd be watching wrestling for a good 4 or 5 hours. And so I think it's something that just kind of naturally evolved from that. And I've always kind of loved it, but there was a degree of, my dad maybe not buying into it as much. My mom loved it because she loved guys like Rick Rude. She loved guys like later Edge and Test. Definitely had a type, Chris Jericho. She'd love to go see those guys at live events. So, for her, it was something that was still pretty fun and something, a way to kind of stay involved. But, my dad, I think my dad was hoping I'd grow out of it. But he was actually really impressed. He told me he was proud of me when I did my first tour of England and when I got to go all over the country. So it's been something that's been pretty neat to involve them with lately.
Yeah, I never really put it together when I was a kid. I had one of the Raw magazines, and it had that fold-out of Shawn Michaels from Playgirl with just the WWF title over him. And I was like, "I don't want this." And my mother was like, "I'll take this." And I never really understood why until much later in life that she enjoyed the picture of the handsome man lady.
Scantily clad.
With the championship belt over his man parts.
Why is the heartbreak kid?
Ian, we all know you from Ring of Honor TV. If I had known you had any involvement with the Philadelphia Phillies, I never would have asked you to do this podcast.
Oh, boy.
That ain't right.
Coming from a true Mets fan, that's exactly how I feel. I'm just going to put that out there.
Boo.
Don't boo me.
Boo-hoo you.
If it makes you feel any better, it was a self-created show that we started on Public Access TV, Phillies Nation TV. I was writing for a blog. We'd won the USA Today Blog of the Year in 2011 and then 2012 as well. And it was pretty cool. I had some experience in Public Access TV in Allentown. Oddly enough, Adam Cole was on the wrestling episode that we did of the Public Access show back in 2010. So it's very interesting that all those years later, our paths crossed again. But yeah, I'm a Phillies fan through and through, and I turned into a best-selling book and a TV show. and yeah, I take it you're a Mets fan.
Boo!
Yes. Yes, I am. I hate everything about Philadelphia.
Oh, boy. Hey,
I do. Now. I'm sorry. The Phillies.
This is our guest.
That's fine. We can disagree. We love wrestling, so we can disagree on other things. I hate everything about Philadelphia. Citizens Bank Ballpark is beautiful. It'd be great if they blew it up.
Wow.
The Eagles are awful. Their fans are the worst.
My God.
Who throws a snowball at Santa Claus and cheers Michael Irvin when he breaks his neck? Exactly. And what's up with the new hockey mascot? What is that?
Gritty.
I love him, Gritty.
Gritty is the most over thing in the world right now.
Yeah, what's wrong with Gritty?
And I'm a New Jersey Devils fan, so I hate the Flyers, but I have respect for South Jersey sports because my dad is from South Jersey, so I root for the Phillies when I'm not rooting for the Yankees. I root for the Eagles when I'm not. Can I ask a question, Matt?
You root for the Phillies?
I'm
done with Matt, Kevin.
I have to apologize for my two co-hosts with all this hatred for your city.
No,
I
love it.
It's a wonderful city.
I love Philly. I wanted to ask him a question. Ian, when did you realize you were going to be the guy in Ring of Honor? When did you realize that you were going to be the voice, and how did it come across? How was it received, and how was it offered?
If you want to know the real story, I've only told a handful of people. I was on the toilet, and this is a true story.
All right, that's our headline.
So I was in Chicago. I keep a day job, and I was there on business, and I felt my phone ring, and I knew it was my personal phone. So I rushed off to the bathroom and it kept ringing. And I thought, well, this has got to be an emergency. It's got to be my wife. Because no one rings my personal phone that much, but I sat down on the toilet and I kind of kayfabed in there, and I picked it up, and it was the producers, our executive producer. And he said, hey, we were just, there's just been kind of a situation, and the lead announcing role has become open. And he said, I don't think there's anybody better than you to step up and to take this opportunity and to see where it goes. And so there I sat on the toilet in Chicago getting ready to leave this conference that I was at and get in an Uber and go back to O'Hare. And I said yes right away. And what's crazy about it was that was the first time I'd ever considered it. And it was on that Uber ride back that I was scared to death because I said yes, and I didn't really know what I had gotten into. It was one of the things where I agreed to something, and the more I thought about it after I agreed to it, the more kind of nervous and anxiety-filled I got. But it was really interesting because the first person I called was my wife, and she had said, you know, how happy and how proud she was for me, and that absolutely, and we can make this work, and we'll do it, and that it's always something you wanted to do, and it's what you've been working for. But in my head, you know, I had hoped to give Ring of Honor a good 10 years, and 10 years as the backup guy, the fill-in guy, the backstage announcer guy, the interview guy. And then after 10 years, if it didn't lead anywhere, then I had a good run, or however long they were going to have me around. But I had never at any point considered that Kevin might leave or might go anywhere. And so, you know, just when the opportunities came, whether it was our live events where I got to call the DVD exclusives, or when I got to call the YouTube exclusives, I was just giving it my best shot, thinking, well, Kevin might leave in 5 years or 10 years. And maybe if I get good enough, they'll give me a shot. And all I'd ever wanted was if Kevin left or when Kevin left, to be the first one they asked and to get a fair shot at it, get a month, get 2 months, get a pay-per-view and see what I could do with it. And so it really wasn't even until maybe All In where I felt like, you know, the guy. And that's 18 months after I took over the role and two contracts later. So it's kind of one of those things where I didn't feel like the guy until I'd kind of been there, done that a couple times and called the final battle and called a couple Super Card of Honors and called a couple pay-per-views to really start to feel confident and really start to have fun. And a big reason for that is Colt Cabana, my partner. Just an amazing talker, just the funniest guy ever, one of the smartest guys ever, and just an incredible mind for wrestling. And just to be involved with him and to fall backwards into a partner like that, I couldn't have asked for anything better.
And you mentioned Kevin Kelly then did a little bit of a 180 on to Colt. How big of an influence can you speak to each one of these guys on you? Was Kevin Kelly an influence? Did he try to teach you the tricks of the trade or the road to being the number one guy? And then speak, I guess, to the same as Colt.
Yeah, absolutely. They both went out of their way to ensure that I succeeded, especially with the crossover period with Kevin. You know, he's somebody that looked out for me and really made sure that he could get me, you know, as good as he could in the limited time we had kind of crossing over together. In terms of Colt, man, Colt, he's so good at just at being funny, at being himself. And I think that was what I was missing in a lot of my early events that I called, just the ability to relax and be myself and have fun and really just let loose and let go. And so, you know, that's what Colt brings out of me. And Colt's also really good about being brutally honest. And if something works or it doesn't work, or if I misinterpreted something, or if there's a story in a match that I'm not picking up, or, you know, something like that, or better ways to phrase things, Colt is amazingly connected, as you'd hope somebody with his pedigree would be. But he's so smart and then some, and so honest and so open, and just kind of willing to have tough conversations when you're not on your A game. And so that's what I love about Colt the most, is that as somebody that needed to get good and to get good quick, and somebody that needed who was rough around the edges to step up and take a swing at being the lead announcer for a televised wrestling product.
Absolutely. I think it was Final Battle when you dropped the Bone Thugs and Harmony Crossroads reference. I miss my Uncle Charles, and I couldn't stop laughing at that. Is that when you have moments like that, what does that mean to you? And do you have like a moment in time that you kind of just freeze and just like look back and like, I called that or I said that?
I'm a huge music fan, and I collect a lot of things. I collect bobbleheads, I collect vinyl records. So I'm a huge, huge music fan. I love obscure music. I love 70s rock, 70s pop. I love 90s hip hop, 80s hip hop. And so, you know, for me, our target audience is about Colt and I's age. You know, anything that I can, you know, say to be maybe more relatable or things like that. But I also, at heart, I'm a nerd, and at heart, you know, I'm just this guy that likes these stupid references and things like that. And so, you know, when Cody hits the crossroads, you know, that's not something that's planned. In my head, I see him going for it, and then, you know, I just blurt out, you know, I meet you at the crossroads, and I miss my Uncle Charles. And Colt, so good at picking up things like that with the, and we pray and we pray. But it's something where it's Colt and I's, if you put a Venn diagram of our interests together, they overlap at just the right spots. And, you know, there's certain moments in time, like an all in, you know, Cody's NWA championship win, or or Joey Ryan's resurrection.
Yes.
Just things that you never anticipate happening. And it's, I could give any advice to anybody. It's just, it just feel the moment and things will come to you. You know, it just over time you develop that kind of knack and that sense to pick your words judiciously. But there are a lot of things that I don't say, which when I was breaking in as a broadcaster, it was tough to not talk. And I think the thing that Kevin Kelly taught me the best was to let visual moments breathe, and to let the crowd noise breathe and the ambiance breathe. And that's something he does very well. And you know, he does well with Wrestle Kingdom events, you know, with Okada and Naito and Omega and those big time matches. And that's something that I really try and steal from him, which was passed down to him by Jim Ross. And I've got some advice from Tony Schiavone, but some personal advice, which is amazing. And, you know, it's just kind of an incredible network of the television wrestling broadcasters. I don't want to say there's a secret club, but we're way more connected than I think a lot of people would even know, which is pretty neat.
And you talk about moments in wrestling, and as somebody who grew up in the tri-state area, what is it going to mean to you April 5th when you're at Madison Square Garden calling a Ring of Honor New Japan Pro Wrestling Super Show?
I when I was, I went to NYU for college, and I couldn't afford it, and I'm still paying on it, and I'll be paying on it for a long time. And one of the biggest challenges, and you know, this is definitely a first world problem, but when you go to college and it's in a big metropolitan area, everything costs a little bit more. And whether that's the school or the food or your dorm or what have you, I was a sex educator just in large part so I could get free room and board. That's a real fact. But you know, you try to enjoy yourself and you try and kind of live life as you would the first time being on your own without your parents. And, you know, one of the big, you know, things that I had kind of out of my life in college was the ability to go to wrestling events. And so, you know, I was down on 14th Street in Union Square West, and all these great Ring of Honor events would happen year after year after year at the Hammerstein, and I couldn't go to them. And I went to one Knicks game while I was at NYU because the tickets were free through the college. And so for me, you know, for somebody that as a college student who couldn't afford to go to the Hammerstein, yet alone Madison Square Garden, this is going to be incredible because this is the building that, you know, when I would go in Christmas time just to look at Macy's, I'd see all the names on the marquee. I'd see Springsteen on the marquee, Billy Joel, the Knicks, the Rangers, just everybody who's ever been anybody has done Madison Square Garden. And I'm probably going to get extremely emotional. It's something where when you start on this path, you know, you have a goal. When I started, my goal was to ring announce one match. And then my goal was to commentate one match. And then my goal was to commentate one match for Ring of Honor. And then it was to commentate one match that aired on YouTube and so on. And so when you get to the idea of calling something in Madison Square Garden, you've suddenly checked off a lot of goals on your list. And this is something that I never knew would be possible. I think that's the biggest thing. This is such a groundbreaking event that this was something I had never even considered. You know, I'm in the lead announcer chair for Ring of Honor, and I don't intend on giving that up or walking away anytime soon or going anywhere. And with that, there comes the idea that, you know, you may never get to call anything in Madison Square Garden or some of the other arenas. But then all of a sudden, when Ring of Honor makes this historic deal to be at the Garden in April, you know, it's just this wave of jubilation. And there was a moment where it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And then there was a moment after that where it became official. And that was one of the biggest roller coaster 2 weeks of my life because I had known a little bit early that there were some negotiations happening and that it looked favorable. And then I had heard kind of right when things started to break apart. But then I had heard just before the graphic went on social media that it was back on. And so it's going to be incredible. It's going to mean so much. And it's just going to put Ring of Honor and New Japan on a whole nother level.
Yeah, and I mean, they've been doing, Ring of Honor's been doing amazing stuff, and you've been a huge part of that with the everything from the Honor Club to the pay-per-views to the YouTube shows. Oh, Tony's dropping stuff over here.
Oh, boy.
Before we let you go, I got to ask about the bobblehead collection because I also collect bobbleheads. Is it a strictly a baseball bobblehead collection, or what is your bobblehead forte?
Yeah, so I tend to get a lot of the Iron Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Okay. I'm an Allentonian, so they're a beautiful stadium right here at Coca-Cola Park, and also the Phillies. But it's expanded over the years. I'm a Sixers season ticket holder, and so I have all the Sixers ones. and then I also have a couple. I have a Mayor McCheese bobblehead. I have a couple wacky ones as well. I have a Butters from South Park. I don't collect all of those per se, but I'll pick up one every now and again. And I'd say my newest obsession is the Micro Brawlers from Pro Wrestling Crate. Those are really cool. And Ryan over at Pro Wrestling Tees just hooked me up with a whole bunch of those. So. Yes.
Very nice. Ring of Honor just came out with the Micro Brawlers as well, right?
Absolutely. And that's actually what got me started. I walked into Philly to the 2300 Arena, the ECW Arena. And I said, what are those? And they said, these are the micro brawlers.
Oh, they look amazing.
I go, the ones that they sell in pro wrestling tees? They said, yeah. So I got the whole Ring of Honor set. And then I bugged Colt. I said, hey, can you get me in touch with pro wrestling tees and see if I can get the whole set going here? So pays to have friends in high places.
That's a good point. Yeah, absolutely. Ian, it's been a pleasure. We've been speaking to Ian Riccoboni. You can follow him on Twitter at Ian Riccoboni. He's on Ring of Honor TV weekly. You watch it on your Fight TV app. You watch it on your local cable provider.
I found it on Stadium TV.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Which in New Jersey and West Orange, I didn't even know was a thing. And I found it, and I get home, out on the weekends. I get home, and it's on at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I pop it on, and I'm just watching it.
Yeah, we're on Charge on Stadium. We're on local affiliates with Sinclair. We're on the Honor Club app. It streams there as well. So no excuse not to watch it anymore. It's everywhere.
Goddamn and right. They got a huge show coming up November 4th, Survival of the Fittest. Ian's going to be calling the action with Colt. It is a stacked card. If you haven't joined the Honor Club, definitely sign up for that. You get all the paper. Go Honor Club VIP. That's what I did. You get pre-sales. You get 15% off merchandise. You get all the pay-per-views. It pays for itself.
It
you're
really
a fool
does.
Not to sign up for a year. It's $120. You're gonna spend that on T-shirts and all this other wrestling rigmarole. You might as well just go out and sign up for the Honor Club.
What was that word?
Rigmarole.
it's going to be great. Survival of the Fittest. We have four debuts, including PJ Black, who had been in WWE. We have Luchasaurus coming in. We have Andrew Everett returning. You know, last time we saw him, he was a top prospect tournament competitor, and then he went all around the world to NOAH, to Impact, and now he's back in Ring of Honor. Dalton Castle's coming back. It's going to be nuts. Beer City Bruiser, I think, might be the dark horse of the whole thing. He's one of my favorites. I could see him in the final. So it's just an incredibly stacked event. Jeff Cobb and Jay Lethal versus SoCal Uncensored, the Kingdom versus Bullet Club for the six-man titles. It's going to be wild on November 4th.
Absolutely.
And Ian, favorite wrestler of all time, Ian?
Oh, it's Flying Brian.
Perfect. So I wanted to know.
Nice. Tony's got a luchasaur ass, too. that old gag.
Oh, you guys are funny.
Ian, before we let you go, can we get a liner where you say, you know, this is Ian Riccoboni and you're listening to The Shining Wizards? You could jazz it up however you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to.
All right, we're ready whenever you are.
All right. 3, 2. This is Ian Riccoboni, the voice of Ring of Honor, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast.
Perfect.
Perfect. Beautiful. Is there anything you want to tell your fans before we let you go back to watching? I guess the 76ers are on, right?
Well, the World Series is also going to be on soon.
Who do you like in the World Series?
Ooh, oh, geez. I was all aboard that Brewers train. You know, I'm rooting. I got a couple friends in LA that haven't seen a championship in their lifetime, so I'm rooting for the Dodgers. Even though there's a lot of Boston fans in the Ring of Honor locker room.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Red Sox. I can't stand.
Don't be scared. Root for the Dodgers.
I don't like Puig and I don't like Machado. I think Machado's a dirty player.
That's not very nice.
I'm hoping Kershaw gets a championship and really puts an exclamation mark on what should be a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, you would like to see that.
Fair enough.
Still rooting for the Red Sox. Ian, it's been a pleasure. Before we let you go, I'm sorry. Anything you want to let your fans know?
No, just check out. There's going to be a lot of announcements about matches coming up on the Global Wars Tour, which will all be broadcast live as well. For Honor Club, it's going to be Lewiston, Maine, Lowell, Massachusetts, Buffalo, New York, and Toronto. Limited tickets available. Limited tickets for Pittsburgh and Columbus. It's final battles right around the corner. So ROHWrestling.com is the place for all that information. A lot of news coming up because I wrote most of it. So there's a lot of articles that are about to hit the airwaves on ROHWrestling.com.
Nice. Ian, it's been a pleasure. We'd love to have you back on in the near future.
Sounds great. I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you, Mr. Ian Riccoboni. Again, follow him on the Twitter at Ian Rick Abani, the voice of Ring of Honor. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to finish talking about Monday Night Raw. We still got to jump into the 70th NWO show. NWO show. The 70th NWA show. We got Women's Evolution to talk about. We got Jimmy Rave calling in at 8:40. We got a lot going on. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back
after these
words. Yeah, words.
Wait, let me do it. Back after this.
Tony here.
Sorry, always wanted to do that, even though I wind up doing that every week. But guys, you know, the holidays are just around the corner. Christmas time, Hanukkah time, Kwanzaa time, whatever time. You're going to be doing your online shopping through Amazon. Why not do it through us? Go to amazon.shiningwizards.com, click on your country's banner, and when you shop, we get a little bit of the cut that Amazon would normally take. Now, you're not paying anything extra, but their profits get a little bit into our pockets, and we keep this gravy train rolling. So this year, when Santa's coming down the chimney and you're not getting credit for what you bought, you can have a smile on your face when you realize that your purchases help to support the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Because we're up all night.
Too sweet. No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Network.
That's what I went with, the superstars, because right now we're going to tell you about some superstars, our patrons who support us at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Should I go down the list or am I going to mispronounce them for week three?
I say go for it.
Okay, we want to thank all of our Patreon producers. We're going to start with Abigail with two B's because we love her so much. We gave her two B's. Cindy Ardone.
Yep.
All right, I got it. Yes.
You didn't have that on loop, the music?
No, because I'm an idiot.
I got it.
Matt wanted
to
play some other stuff.
Go ahead.
What the hell is that?
It's the beginning.
Okay. I forgot that was part of it. Dan Rusinello, which one did you run into the other day?
I ran into Dan.
Okay. Jesse Bowen, we want to thank. Of course, we want to thank Kathy Hummer. Manny Crozzo, our buddy from overseas. Where is he from? Austria?
Good time. I believe so.
Mike Martinelli and Sean Toe. Give it up for Sean Toe and Mike Martinelli, supporters as well. Don't forget, you want to support us, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And that's our commercial block.
That's it. For as little as a dollar a month, we will mention your name. And you get priority and questions that we ask every week. And you can put a banner up on theshiningwizards.com.
Oh, and people take advantage of that already.
Oh, they do. Have you seen the latest one? I have.
Kevin, go to ShiningWizards.com.
I'm on my way.
All right. Kevin's going to ShiningWizards.com. He's going to check out the newest banner from our Patreon supporter, Kathy Hummer.
Like Matt said, it's only a dollar, but if you support us more, you give us more money, there's so many more perks. You can get your own email address, your name or whatever, at ShiningWizards.com.
What a bitch. Wow.
Wow. Wow, that's not cool.
Little butthurt.
Yeah, I know, man. She supports the show. Yeah, what did she say?
Did you know Shining Wizards Kevin has his own shirt? Neither did I.
He went for the bell.
Because I dropped the bell when you were interviewing Mr. Riccaboni. I felt like a tool.
That is pretty funny. That is pretty funny.
What was that? What is that?
All right, Hummer, you win.
Paige is in studio.
That's not right.
That doesn't even sound like a pig. Sounds like a duck.
Paige is hot, too. I don't know
what
you're talking
about. Yeah, you're crazy.
Oh,
can you quack?
Sweet, that's why. Oh, wait, you want to quack like a duck?
Sure. No. God, no. Please, no.
So that was Ian Riccaboni from Ring of Honor. We have Jimmy Rave.
Yeah, Jimmy Rave.
I almost said Jimmy Page. That's why I hesitated. I was
from,
like, wow.
Yes, Led Zeppelin's calling it. All right, so we were in the middle of talking about
Hummer wins this one.
Constable Corbin. Well, and Claymore.
Oh, my God. We're still talking about Raw. We have so much more we need
to cover
tonight.
I know, but we got to blow through the rest of it. And of course,
we got to tie a bow on it.
The Nikki Bella fucking Ronda Rousey thing.
I tell you what, Rousey took a hell of a smack. Did you see the side of her face was completely red when she walked
and
away?
She no-sold the shit out of it.
Yeah, that was a good... You know what? As much as I'm not liking the Bellas, that was a great segment.
No, I thought it was good, too.
Ronda played it perfectly. Happy with that one. Really now, liked it. Ember Moon and that other horse shit, not so much.
Well, they're just trying to build up to this pay-per-view Sunday.
All right, look. I don't know about you guys, but am I the only one here that thinks like women and men should be treated equally, that we don't have to be bombarded with it every week on fucking Raw?
They're just trying to promote the show, man. I agree that men and women should be treated equally, but this is kind of a big deal, dude.
I don't know if you heard, but they canceled their VIP packages for the Evolution pay-per-view because apparently they weren't selling. It's not a good sign.
Hey, it's an experiment.
Yeah, but still, you would think like a few more little girls out there, or even little boys, would want to meet.
Like
you're
the experiment.
Hey, it is what it is.
Which one's going to work out better?
Which one?
Tony as the experiment or the Evolution as an experiment?
I think I had more longevity.
Oh,
I would say.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, they beat Dolph Ziggler and Claymore for the tag team championship.
Now, were you okay with the win and then what happened afterwards?
Yes, because now it's, because even what was Ambrose was saying, it's okay after he hit him with the dirty deeds the first time.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, okay, like, I get it. Like, we've been dicks to you, but now you have a title. And Ambrose wasn't feeling that because he beat the piss out of him.
Oh, yeah, he did. Pulled back the mats and everything. And everything was timed perfectly. He took his time. He thought about it. Then he pulled the mats back. You know what I'm saying?
Methodical.
Like, it was methodical, but it like he took his time, which is something you need to do in that situation.
Which is methodical.
Perfect.
And now what do we do?
What are we going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Now that you can't. Now we got tag team champions that they might be on the outs.
Yeah, so we haven't had that a million times in WWE before. I'm just saying, it's been done to death.
Yeah, but maybe next week Ambrose is apologetic.
Oh, great. So he's a real lunatic finally?
Yeah, and then
like
maybe
6 years
maybe
the
he's
gimmick?
Apologetic, and then they lose the tag titles, and then he really snaps, because now he doesn't have a championship, and the only person that has a championship is Seth Rollins, and he wants that Intercontinental Championship.
That's right.
Oh, that's good. And what about Claymore and Dolphy?
Well, I think Claymore is going to feud with Braun when Braun wins the title at Crown Jewel.
What are they? Is that just a one-on-one now?
Yep.
Yes.
For the championship.
Yep. Which is... We've seen Braun and Brock before. Jesus, Braun and Braun. Oof. We've seen this before. It wasn't that great the first time we saw it. I don't know how good it's going to be this time.
I think it'll be fine.
I think Braun's a little more seasoned.
Oh, sure, but we'll see.
Meh.
You think it's going to wind up on Brock again? Like, what are you thinking early on? I know we're not doing predictions yet, but what's your gut feeling telling you now?
I think it's Braun.
I would think it has to be too. That's what I'm going with. Yeah. But
unless they do some
money's in the chase, Braun versus Brock at WrestleMania.
Well, now here's the thing. Here's what. Now, do you go to Brock and be like, "Hey, man, we need you. like, will Brock be a team player and come back and do a full time while Roman's gone? And I haven't even read anything about this at all. I don't think it's going to happen. But what if they offer Brock, like, hey, man, we need you. Come in. We'll give you this and that. And then they want to put the belt back on Brock.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Brock's coming in for the show no matter what.
He's coming in for the show, but now...
I don't think the plan was to have the title switch anyway at Crown Jewel.
Neither do I.
So I would think you'd have to go with Braun. I mean...
But if they're not comfortable with Braun with the belt yet...
But Braun also shit on Brock for the same reasons that Roman did. I want to be a fighting champion. You know, I'm here every week.
Right. What I'm saying is that does Vince McMahon go to Brock and be like, hey, man, we're in a jam. We need you. Can you stick around for a little while?
I don't know. Maybe.
I hope not. I think it's time for Braun to carry the company.
Oh, I agree with you.
And it goes back to what
for some reason.
I was saying it a few weeks ago. I didn't see Claymore being a top guy. Maybe this is his stepping stone.
I still think he is.
I don't see it yet.
Well, the seeds are there. How they cultivate the seeds and let the garden grow is another story. But right now, he's like, I'm not afraid of monsters.
They planted the seed, and it may have been me just reading too much into it. They planted that Finn Balor seed last night when he came out, and they said he has said that he needs to get back to that level where he was when he won the championship, right when he was doing his intro before the Bobby Lashley match. So it's very possible that Braun can win this, Drew can take it from him, and then you get Finn doing the chase, and Finn... You know, almost like a Rey Mysterio Jr. type storyline where he beats the man, he slays the dragon.
I would love that because I've been saying forever that Finn needs to be a top guy.
And Finn didn't come out with Bayley, and Finn didn't come out with like Balor clubs for everyone. Yep. He's kind of getting back to brass tacks, and he beat Bobby Lashley.
I did see that.
Thank God. Lashley's got to go, dude. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of things that could happen. It'll be interesting to see what happens after the Crown Jewel. It was about as interesting as the NWA 70th anniversary show.
That was a good show. I enjoyed that show a lot.
Go on.
Tim Storm. I love that guy more and more. Every time I... Dude, every time I see
him...
I
knew you were going to open with Tim Storm.
Every time I see this guy.
The Perfect Storm.
Yes, Tim the Perfect Storm. What a great name, by the way. I don't know if I necessarily like that skinny guy that like he's in this feud with.
Peter Avalon.
Yes, but the story was told well. And, you know, his manager kind of reminds me of The Brain, by the way. Did you get that feeling watching him?
That's pretty high praise.
I'm just... No, not Bobby Heenan.
Oh. Oh, our Brain. Brain. Okay.
Rest in peace, buddy. Yes. We miss you.
R.I.P.
I thought that was great.
It's still pretty high praise.
The only thing I didn't care for, Road Warrior Animal, like with Jax Dane and
Crimson,
they are a great team, don't get me wrong. But what was that bullshit with these women, with the guy with the headdress and everything?
The Josephus?
What is that?
I don't know.
I never heard of Josephus before. I recognize Hollywood. Don't call me a creeper.
You are.
I didn't know who the bald-headed girl was either. But... Yeah, all that just to have Shannon Moore and
Crazy Steve attack
Crazy
them.
Steve.
Shannon
out?
Moore was on the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
Gotta watch that.
I don't know
the tight braids and everything, dude.
I don't know where you would find regular NWA programming, and maybe that's my fault for not looking into where you could see this.
Well, I think the big program is still NWA from Hollywood. Like that's where they detail a lot of their stories.
Well, they do
like
championship wrestling from Hollywood.
Well, that's what it is.
And
that's
they do
what
champion. And that whole Tim Storm Peter Avalon thing was championship wrestling from Arizona.
Arizona, yes.
So maybe that's the home base for those two shows. I've been watching
that Peter Avalon just creeps me out though. He's a creepy, dirty-looking old like man. Am I wrong? Like,
no.
Tim Storm looks like a friggin' jackhammer next to this guy.
But that's his gimmick.
I know. It's just so creepy.
Because I started watching 10 Pounds of Gold.
Well, that's what I thought.
But that is just focused on the NWA championship. And talk about championships. That NWA Northern Championship, National
Championship
is beautiful. I don't care what anyone says. I am not a belt mark by any means of the imagination. I don't know shit about belts like Tony and Kevin do, but that belt is beautiful. It is unique looking. It doesn't look like every single other belt out there. And I did a little research, and it's based off the National Championship that they had from 78 to 83 or 82.
Was it the national or was it a United States championship? Because I don't remember the national championship having that design.
I think it's it might have been the U.S.
You might be right on that.
See, because a lot of it,
I think it's an homage
it,
to that or an homage, or whatever you want to.
And even the way like the wording is like just kind of like put on the belt like in these empty spaces, like it's really got like a like I want to say eclectic because I don't want to say weird.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's the U.S. title. From 75 to 82. Wow.
Yeah, so they
off.
Based it on that. And they didn't want to go North American because, you know, NXT picked that title up.
And
so
because that really hit a skid when WWE brought it back in 98, the North American Championship.
What do you mean?
When WWE brought the NWA Remember? North American Championship.
Oh, good call. I was thinking like 98, what did I miss? Okay, yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Or 97, whatever.
Well, that was Jeff Jarrett, wasn't it?
It was yes. Jeff Jarrett, yeah.
And Barry Windham.
Yeah.
God. The Widowmaker.
Can I play bad guy here?
Oh, yeah. What's that?
I really don't like it.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
I mean,
fine.
It's fine. You're not a bad guy. You're entitled to your own opinion.
But I know it's just like everyone is... I know what's old is new again. I get that.
A lot of people have been poo-pooing it, so you're not in like a small
camp. I'm like, come on. It's, and I appreciate what they're trying to do. It's just like you don't have to go that far to get what you're trying to do across. Like,
well,
like you don't
knows?
Need
maybe,
to do like
maybe a year from now they change the design. I don't know.
Oh, I would hope they do.
Yeah, but do you want the same? I mean,
it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good on. It's not a TV belt. Like I get it.
Like, what's that mean? It's not a TV belt.
Well, it's a national championship. It's not a television belt.
But, you know,
I get it, Kevin. He doesn't think it's a presentable belt.
It's not presentable.
I think it looks beautiful. And I don't, my thing is it's different. It doesn't look like every other championship. I can't tell you the difference between a Ring of Honor TV title, the X Division Championship. They all look the fucking same to me. New Japan, they all look the same. It's all the same design.
They, like, if you look closer, they're definitely.
Yes, if you look closer, but I don't, on TV, I'm not stopping my TV to look at the title. Like, it's a title. Great. The TV tells me. But when I see the NWA, what they gave, what Willie Mack won, and God bless, Willie Mack is amazing. He deserves all the success in the world. If you are a wrestling fan and you've never seen a Willie Mack match, Google it.
We watched
YouTube
two
it.
Willie Mack matches this past week, or three of them, actually.
Yeah.
He's been all over the place.
Dynamite. I don't know. It's just a personal preference, I guess.
You know who's been all over the place? James fucking Ellsworth. He was on SmackDown 1000.
No, he wasn't.
He was
on the post show.
Yeah.
Oh, the post show.
So he was there. He was in WWE, like,
but they didn't put him on the show.
He worked for Impact Wrestling, WWE, and the NWA 70.
In a week.
In a week. That's got to be some sort of record.
In a week.
In a week. Who else? The first four-way... It was kind of a little silly. You don't think? With the slapping with the gloves.
No, that's Colt Cabana, though. That's
no,
what
I,
Colt does.
I get it. Sam Shaw, like, he looks like, who is it? Bobby Fish has the mustache? Or used to?
Bobby Fish has the mustache.
Okay. So he kind of looks like Bobby Fish, but like a psycho version of him. You see that a little bit?
Sam Shaw? I was surprised to see that Sam Shaw actually won that match.
Really?
To be honest with
you. I always thought Sam Shaw was an underrated, underused guy.
Who was the little guy that was talking a lot of shit? What was
Marty
his name?
Stunt? I'm just guessing. I didn't watch the
show. Yes, no, it was his brother, Billy.
It was
Billy Flip.
Holy Jesus Louise.
I know. I don't remember any of their names, and I'm seriously.
I have it right here. Fish. Sorry.
All right, good.
It was Sammy Guevara.
Yes,
Guevara.
He was really talented. I'm like, who's this little shit? But he was pretty good.
Well, look, when you look at the guys, Sam Shaw, Colt Cabana, Sammy Guevara, and Scorpio Sky.
I don't know the Sammy guy, but everyone else.
Sammy's good. Yeah. Sammy's real. Him and Janela tore it up in PWG, I want to say.
Maybe
okay.
I do know him then.
I'm sorry. I gotta stop Matt for a second. Okay, this is a replica, I think, of the United States Heavyweight Championship. It's the same design. They spelled heavyweight wrong.
Well, that's a replica, dicko.
And people buy this shit, dude. I've seen this belt all over the place.
I'd buy it if it was like half the price. I don't give a fuck. I'm not wearing it to fucking... God, I better stop the curve. I'm not wearing it out to
What was
the
other four-way?
The other four was Willie Mack, Jay Bradley, Mike Paro, and Ricky Starks.
Yo, all right. Let me start with Mike Paro.
Let me speak on this.
All right.
Orale!
He comes out. He's gay. You know, he's doing this to shine a light on equal rights. Well, yeah, whatever. Too bad the production at the beginning of the show, you had no idea what he was talking about. And if it wasn't for the fact that he was wearing a rainbow ribbon, you would have no idea.
What, you didn't like when Jim Cornette said, if you have a problem with gay people, try saying something to him?
No, I did like that. But we didn't hear what he said. Mike Parro?
Oh, the big motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's fucking...
Yeah.
He's a bear,
huge.
Dude. He came out with a harness on. I'm like, really?
And then like, he got in the ring and he stood next to all those dudes. And I know. He made fucking Jay Bradley look small.
Yeah, but Jay, dude, we had Jay Bradley on the show how many years ago? Wasn't he pissed off at the business at that point? It's hard to believe he's still around. Like, I thought he was like annoyed, aggravated, and just left.
Nah, he was doing stuff in Resistance Pro with Billy Corgan.
Well, there you go. It was good to see him. Don't get me wrong. I was impressed.
Well, I'm getting you wrong.
That was a whole bunch of sides of beef in that match. It was great. Willie Mack is unbelievable.
That Ricky Starks cat, I like him too.
Yes.
When he came out and he cut the promo on Cornette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed that very much.
It was a weird feel, you know, because a lot of these guys you'd never seen before and they're trying to get themselves over, you know?
So you mentioned the production and that
production
was
pretty bad. I don't know how. Billy Corgan's been running a promotion for how long?
Okay.
And like, ugh.
So Billy Corgan said. On the production side, we fell short of providing a televised event up to the standard that I would consider acceptable, which reminded me greatly as to why people questioned my pursuit of TNA. Put simply, building a culture like Smashing Pumpkins or the NWA takes time, trial, and error, and great risk. And throwing money at the problem doesn't necessarily correct the issues.
Well, that's smart.
And in some cases, makes it worse. So last night, I was painfully reminded of how hard this journey is and knew by the time the last bell rung, we have much work to do before we run another such live event, which is no way diminishes my appreciation for those who ordered or attended the event. In fact, it increased it. So Billy Corgan steps up to the plate and he takes responsibility. The production was shit.
I was about to say, was it that bad?
Oh,
it was bad, Kev.
Was it bad.
Legends of Wrestling bad?
Dude.
It was Legends of Wrestling had better production.
Wow.
The show...
Not even joking.
The show opens and there's like supposed to be like a intro video. You can't hear the sound of the video and you can hear Cornette and this dude Joe, who do color commentary, talking through the video. They're not talking about the video. They're just having a conversation. You can't, and then they get some girl whose name I can't.
Jen something or other.
Awful.
She was adorable, but she was
awful.
The shit.
They should have got that chick, Alicia Tout, who does the Beyond Wrestling. She does the Impact.
She called
Dory Funk Rory Funk.
Maybe she thought she was talking to the Gulags.
Bro,
Rory Fox.
And she was like...
Wait. But in fairness, Dory Funk was at ringside at one point doing bullwhip tricks.
That's fine, but... Dude, come on. I thought
Dory Funk died. Isn't he like 80 years old?
He looks awful. And then he was talking and it was like, I was watching the NWA.
Who I felt bad for was Magnum TA with his Rolly thing. No, like not making fun of him, but like it's like he's going to present the belt to Willie Mack. The fucking guy can't even get in a ring. How are you going to let him give the belt? Like Willie Mack just pretty much reached over to ringside and said, thanks, Magnum. Come on, like seriously,
yeah,
you couldn't
get anybody else?
Well,
Jeff Jarrett came out before the match.
No, understood.
Jeff Jarrett could have handed it.
Jeff Jarrett kind of stammered and stumbled all over himself, too. He was not prepared for what he needed to say at that point either.
What'd you think of Cornette on commentary?
I really liked it. The one part, and he always said he hates it, the reverse Hurricanrana. Yeah, he's like, that is the dumbest move in the history of professional wrestling.
He said it?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Called it right out. Which to me says, okay, at least he's not being a hypocrite. Even when he said, I talked to Colt Cabana in the back, and he said he's going to take things more seriously, and then he fucking went out and started joking around anyway. I'm sure that stuck in Cornette's craw. But they did a good job. Tony Schiavone, the three of them, calling the main event.
Dude, I could watch them.
And Tony lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, Tony looks great.
Tony's got to put away the fat guy suit, though.
Oh, you liked how his undershirt was like down to like... It was like to his fingertips.
I don't know who fucking dresses him, dude, but he needs somebody to get him on wardrobe. It was bad. It was bad.
I don't think the NWA has wardrobe people standing
by. No, but
what
I'm saying is like he's got a wife and kids. Like nobody says, Dad, you're going to fucking wear that suit?
I just don't think... If I'm him, I'm just like, I'm going to go. I have a suit. Let's just do it.
I'm going to get him a Patreon just to buy him a new suit. I think that's what I'm going to do for Tony. Sorry.
Very nice to Tony.
Don't be sorry.
So what
Tony's got to stick together.
Was there another tag match?
No. There was the singles matches? Barrett Brown beat Laredo Kid. That was where Cornette hated the reverse Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, that match felt a little like disjointed at points.
I liked it. That Barrett Brown is pretty badass.
No, they're good, but it just felt a little disjointed at points.
The Jazz Penelope Ford match was weird.
Jazz is dominant. Jazz. She was trying to give Penelope Ford a little bit of leeway, and I think Penelope just got a little lost. I don't know if she was intimidated by being in there with Jazz, but at some points, dude, it's like she kind of didn't know how to follow up. It's like you got the advantage on a badass. You got to know how to get in there and keep her down. And to me, it just seemed like she was just standing around waiting for Jazz to like come to her.
Yeah, Jazz beat the shit out of her, too.
Dude, what's the move where she had her up and she kind of...
The Michinoku, like, sit-out Michinoku drive?
It was like a Michinoku kind of Falcon Arrow kind of thing.
Bro, I think she knocked her out.
That's the thing. She whipped into that finish. That should have been it. Like, fucking... I don't want to shit on Earl Hebner anymore.
But you're
Earl,
going
right?
to. Yes.
I'm absolutely going to. Because all night long, every fall that he was involved in, every match, was the 1-2 That dumb shit that he does, which telegraphs a mile away that it's not going to be a three. He counts 1-2, and then he doesn't count the three when Penelope's still down. It's like, you got to count that. You have to count that.
Right, because then Jazz just turned her over, put her in the STF.
No, but Jazz got up and looked at him, and he refused to look at her. He just stared at Penelope.
And then they tried to play it off like this is like a thing with Earl Hebner. Like,
because
he's
old,
and
that's all
they've
done. But that just makes him look worse. Like, oh, he's an old man. It's like, come on, dude.
You want to talk about.
Just count the pin. That was a perfect time. And you knew she was going to go over anyway. You know what I'm saying?
No, I completely agree.
To go another 10 seconds with the stupid STF, you didn't need that. She just destroyed her. It looked perfect. Nope. She kicked out. I don't know. What the fuck?
And then Jazz cuts a promo. She wants to...
She wants to fight men. Kevin.
She wants to take on anybody.
We want Kevin Garifo's home address.
Kevin, I'll take her on.
Kevin, you want to talk about bad refereeing? Go watch that CMLL Grand...
Oh, that whole show is probably dog
shit. Grand Prix. The 18-man tag match that Taven was in and all the Ring of Honor guys were in. The referee, every time it wasn't going to be a three count, the big ones... 1-2
Oh, yeah, they're good for that.
But then when it was 3, it was 1-2-3. And you knew it every time his arm went up.
There was an old guy who used to ref at the Garden at the old WWF shows who used to do that shit. I forget what the hell his name was. The really old-looking guy. Used to do it all the time. When it was the fast count.
Kind of looked like Fred Mertz.
Yeah, it was a fast count for when the good guys got the pin off the hot move. 1-2-3. Boom.
I remember
done.
Him.
That's awful. A wrap. They announced to bring back the Crockett Cup.
Which I think is very cool.
Which is huge. And hopefully the revival and the bar, they'll be a part of it.
Fuck
very
off.
Excited for them. Hopefully the New Day can
Your
make it.
Question said, what teams would you like to see in it? Not
yes,
which
not,
teams should be in it.
No, come on. Don't be a douche.
You know the fucking WWE's not working with the NWA.
I know, but you know, you can dream.
Yeah, but I didn't say fantasy booking.
See, I don't think you were dreaming. I think you honestly just like... slipped up. And
I
made,
thought
like,
those two teams would be great in something that commemorates the Crockett's and the revival of the Crockett Cup.
All right.
What better team for a revival than the revival, Kevin?
That's a very good point.
There you go. What else happened? Was it just the main event then?
The main event.
Surprised the shit out of me with that
You and
ending.
Me both.
And who's the blonde? Nobody really knew who she was.
Camille Kane.
Camille! the friend of Camille.
Apparently she's a wrestler.
She's Bill Cosby's wife, Camille.
She's a big girl.
Oh, yes, she is.
Not like Nia Jax big, like Tony likes to say. Like, she's a tall
Thick.
Glass of water.
You know whose girlfriend she is?
What's her name? Camille what?
Camille Kane. K-A-M.
Oh, K.
Yeah, spelled with K. K-A-M-I-L-L-A. Kane is spelled K-A-I-N-E.
So she's not related to Debbie Kane.
No, or Kane.
Or Kane, yes.
Or Kane Kane.
Or cocaine.
That's good.
Whose girl is she?
Braun Strowman.
No shit, really?
That's his girl, yep.
Yeah, oh, I recognize this broad.
Yep. Get these hands, bitch.
She used to play in like the fucking... Oh, sorry for my language.
She played for the Giants.
No, she played for the women's and the women's football league. The
yeah,
ladies
no,
football
the lingerie league.
League? No, not the like, the legit ladies football league.
Oh, okay.
What, the LFL?
Yep.
That's the lingerie football league.
No, but
yeah,
she's
it is.
Not wearing lingerie in it.
It doesn't matter. None of it
Maybe
matters.
Maybe it's a lingerie football league. Yes, it is a lingerie football league.
Good talking.
So she is in Aldis's corner, and Cody has Brandy, and she is supposed to stop Brandy from doing what she did it all in.
Can I say one thing?
You could say 100 things.
I hate Brandy.
Why?
Why is she climbing in the ring during an NWA title match?
Because she's protecting her man.
But her man is a world champion. He doesn't need you. Stay outside where you belong. You get in between those ropes, you're going
to
get hurt.
Sure. Did Randy Savage need Sensational Sherry?
Yeah,
Queen Sherry?
Yeah, he was a shit heel.
He's a heel.
He's a heel. Crowd was 1,000% behind Cody.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, dude.
He might be a heel, but he's the most over babyface.
But it was crazy. Everything he did, they cheered the shit out of. Everything Aldis did, they booed the shit out of. It was such an amazing dynamic.
Wow, she's really hot.
First fall, Cody wisely taps out immediately.
I thought that was brilliant.
It was, but then it's like, well, now your champ's down a fall. It's kind
of
weird.
Sure,
you know?
But instead of being stuck, it's psychology. Instead of being stuck in that hold,
trying to
get to the ropes, he was thinking ahead. He had confidence in his game, knowing that he could tie it up and possibly get the win.
And they had some brawling in the second fall, which
was
great.
Yes, they went to the concession stand.
Yeah, and I think, was it Tony Schiavone said, what is this, Tupelo?
Yes.
That was a nice call. And actually, at one point, Cody was filling up a soda just so he could throw
it
at
Nick. Just so he could hit him in the head with
it. So great.
They set up a table in the ring.
And thankfully, was it Perfect Storm who took the table off?
Perfect Storm.
Good.
Perfect Storm got up on the apron, and Cody punched him in the face.
Yeah, well.
And then I think Earl threw the table out of the ring.
And what's Earl? What is this crap with Earl going, I should be counting him out, but I'm going to let it go. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, Earl Hebner changed the rules, so maybe he's going to allow the table to be in the ring. I'm like, really?
Discretion. Really? Referee's discretion, man.
First of all, Earl Hebner should not have been calling any fall in that match, considering there was controversy in the first title match. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Well, Brian was there.
Yeah, but Brian should have called the whole thing. There's no reason they had to switch between falls. That was kind of silly.
Cody gets the second fall with Crossroads.
Yes.
And then...
Wait, was it the second Crossroads he hit?
Yes, it was the second Crossroads he hit. And then at the 36-minute mark, there was a little schoolboy, small package.
That Nick Aldis managed to rock back over the other way, and Cody couldn't get out.
And that's an NWA finish, if I ever saw one.
Kevin, it was so great. I'm watching it. I had no idea who won, and I'm watching. I'm like, oh, whoa, would you look at that? Nick Aldis won the title back.
Nick Aldis indeed won the title back.
And he is a great representative of the NWA.
I think it was really good to get the belt off him and put it on Cody just to get that name recognition onto it. And now I think it's deserved the spotlight where it should still be able to strive on its own without Cody.
What was his
name
in TNA?
Magnus.
All right, yes. Did you happen to catch Impact this past week?
Yeah. They showed...
The rewind was Petey Williams beating Magnus for the Impact Championship.
No.
Yeah.
Petey Williams was never Impact Champion.
Yeah, he was.
X Division, maybe.
No. It was Petey Williams, wasn't it? No, it was Eric.
Eric Young,
yeah. That was it. Sorry, okay. I got the little guys mixed up. You were right, Kevin. My bad.
No, it's all good.
But... Remember, don't fire Eric?
Yeah. And
that was
a
great storyline.
They kept it to, usually the flashbacks are like the whole match. They kept it nice down to like a minute clip. On Impact.
Wait, what would you... I'm sorry, before we get to Impact, what would you give the show overall, NWA 70?
I'd give it an A. I thought it was a great show. Production was shit. I'm not going to lie about it. The Jen Decker was terrible. Terrible. She was...
Yeah, you know what?
What was that? She did that one promo, and she was like, with Penelope Ford, and then she was like, are we done? Cut? Is that good? Like,
yeah.
The production was just bad, but... For what was in the ring, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I can't go A. I'm going to go solid. I'm going to go B+.
Okay.
I'm going to go just a little bit lower. There were a few things in terms of the wrestling that I really didn't care for or didn't understand, but by and large, I can forgive first-time jitters, even though Billy Corgan, you know, he's in this business. He should have known, you know, a little bit better, I would think. But all in all, I can't complain. It was actually a great show.
Hopefully they iron everything out, and we have a better production value for the Crockett Cuppet. Worst.
Impact, real quick, because I know we're waiting on Jimmy Ray to call.
Yeah, Jimmy Ray's going to call in a couple minutes. The fallout from Bound for Glory. They're really pumping up Brian Cage. They want to establish him as a top star. Johnny Impact kicks off the show.
And Phoenix challenges him, which I think is going to be a great match. Like I said last week, Phoenix impressed the shit out of me at Bound for Glory. I'm glad to see he's in the spotlight.
Yeah, so we got that
coming
up.
Glad to see that. Can I tell you a little story about Allie?
Yes.
Why do we need another creepy knockout who like looks at her hands and twitches and touches herself?
Because she went to the dark side.
I'm all for women touching themselves and creepy. I am. But please, we got Rosemary. We got Sue Young. We had, I forget who else was part of that, but now Allie's doing
it,
too.
Wasn't the whole thing that Rosemary is like...
But she's the original. Like, she, that should have been her
but
thing.
But is she on TV?
She was on...
Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She saved Allie from the demons.
Yeah, and she's cute, and she's like, you shouldn't even be here. You gotta go. I was like, all right, that's cool. But yeah, like, look, I'm all for Allie, like, touching on her boobies and stuff, but I don't know. Too many.
You said boobies.
It's too much, dude. It's like every knockout cannot be touchy-feely with themselves.
I said that when you had Sue Young and Rosemary in the same picture at the same time.
Yeah, now there's three of them.
Now there's three.
Yeah. Now there's three.
Well, look.
And wait, who did she beat up?
She beat up Alicia Edwards.
Alicia.
Whatever.
There you go.
And then Kira Hogan, she was in like a trance, like she was a psycho. And then Kira Hogan snapped her out of it.
By kissing her.
No, she didn't kiss her, you fucking creep.
I wanted to pop Kevin.
Snapped her out of it. And then she was like very apologetic for what she did to Alicia.
Alicia. And they were trying to
help her. Not a name.
That match was kind of rough, though.
I think it is Alicia Edwards, though.
It is.
I know, but it's still not a real. Just call yourself Alicia.
Ah. She spells it with an S, that's why.
Fuck her.
Really?
Yeah. Taya Valkyrie beat Katarina.
Whatever. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Taya Valkyrie. I believe it's her birthday.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Happy 50th.
Ethan Page beat Trevor Lee.
The Kevin Griffo truck driver.
Yes.
He's looking in better shape. He's actually got some musculature.
They're working. And
they're trying to bring him back, too. They're like, oh, he's on a losing streak now.
Josh Matthews drops the hint. Like, he needs some guidance. So maybe, like, the
third eye.
Oh,
no. Third eye blind. Stop. Hate that gimmick.
Killer Cross beat Tommy Dream by referee stoppage. I thought this was a little weird.
It was weird. It was
because he just hit two Saito suplexes and the referee called for the match.
And what's with Moose? Did Moose find like Allah or something?
Oh, you like his little getup, huh?
This was the last show at 8 o'clock, right?
Yes. Next week is
the time. Because I got home at 10 and actually watched the replay. I thought it was the first 10 o'clock show, it was just the replay.
I got to reset my DVR completely.
Oh, that's a good idea. I got to do that Thursday, too.
Got to do that, yes. What else happened? The Brian Cage match was pretty damn good.
Yes, Brian Cage beat Rich Swann in an awesome
match.
That
was a great match. Yes. I can't believe All right, now I'm back in. I'm in.
Kevin's back.
I'm back. I'm trying to find a card for Evolution.
I don't know how many times they could play off this.
Because I thought I didn't watch Impact, but I watched Impact.
Don't you think it's a little dangerous that they're playing off Brian Cage getting kicked in the head so much? opening a door to an errant shot that's going to give him a concussion. That's my concern. Like, yeah, chair shots are, you know, like they're frowned upon now for good reason. But, my God, how many fucking kicks do you want to give this guy in the head?
He's a monster. How else is he going to take the monster down?
Take out his knees like any good face
does.
Yeah, but
you kick him in the knees, and then he gets on his knees, and what's next?
Kick him in the balls. Then you let him
kick him in the balls. It's illegal. That's illegal.
On his knees.
Well, look, he's a face, right? The bad guys. Kick him in the balls. Who cares?
It's illegal.
You're a bad guy. You can figure it out.
Your logic is flawless.
I that's why I'm here, Kev.
That's it.
Fair enough. Sammy Callahan comes down post-match.
Oh, fuck him,
and they
too.
Beat...
He's a meanie.
I love Sammy Callahan.
He's such a meanie.
Just signed a new contract with them.
I know. He's just so angry all the time.
Oh, so did Jordan Grace, right? She signed a contract, too.
Were you with me when we met him that time years ago?
Yes, when we were waiting in line and we bought him his coffee or his hot
chocolate. Yeah, because they wouldn't even...
Marks!
No, they wouldn't even give the guy a coffee. I'm like, he's your champion, and you can't give him a friggin' dollar coffee? I'm like, what's wrong with you people?
Wait, really?
I lambasted the lady at the counter. I'm like, he's your champion. You can't give him a cup of coffee?
Wait, he's not the vendor's champion.
No, he represents
the
people.
He was the PWS champion.
Yeah, he booked that building, dude. The people came to see him.
Yeah, that was the fucking 15-hour show.
Oh,
they stood till 1 o'clock to see him, but by gum, they saw him.
That was him and Matt Hardy, right?
No, it was him and Cole Cabana.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And we bought him a coffee and we gave him a business card and he said he loved podcasts.
There you go. Has he been on our show?
Yeah, he's on our show.
That's right.
Should get him back.
Yeah, we'd love to get Sammy back.
Jade Chris will be on in 20 minutes. Sorry. We're going to reschedule Jake.
Poor
I know.
Jake.
Just breaking balls.
Line of the night.
It's what we do.
Next, as we wait for Jimmy Rave, next week, Tuesday night, the night before Halloween.
Ooh,
Wizards.
Silly Wednesday.
We're going to do a little Wizards Rewind. And we're going to talk Halloween Havoc 1990. Our friend Matt Squires has made a wonderful. It's because I'm married to an Asian lady. Okay?
Oh, really?
Ladies and gentlemen, Chantel. Sean Toe was
wonderful.
Us.
He took the Halloween Havoc poster and he put all our dumb faces on it. So we're gonna put that out there to promote us covering Halloween.
Kevin
Havoc.
Looks extra dumb on the poster.
I like that.
Kevin's like, please don't feature me. I'm like, can we squeeze him in on the bottom somewhere? He's like, you got.
Yeah, but you have me as a cloud, not even as the moon. It's so weird. It's like it doesn't make any sense.
Because then we would have to call you Moonface.
Well, you'd have to be the ass face.
I don't care. I'm like in between you guys, like looking up at both of you, like a.
Yeah, well, that's then. The next time we do a Wizard Rewind, then maybe I'll be in the middle.
He put my toilet face up. That was like mid squeeze.
No, that's every face of yours.
All right, what are we putting that picture up? Because I want to put the actual picture of it, and then what we did. And how no one's going to correlate the two.
It'll be up at some point.
It'll be hysterical. We'll we'll figure it out. But that's going down next week. Little Halloween feel. Maybe we'll dim the lights in here and get spooky scary.
I got the fog machine ready to roll. I powered it up. I got a fresh gallon of fog juice. We got ambiance and
that's
atmosphere.
What you call it, fog juice?
Fog well, juice.
What's your kid being for Halloween?
He's actually going to be a Fortnite character.
That's not a surprise.
He's going to be... the skeleton, I forget what the hell his name is. But we got the
Bones.
Whole outfit upstairs. And he's going to his first school dance next week. I told
you have
him,
to have the birds and the bees conversation
listen,
with him?
The girl he's got a crush on is going to be there. I'm trying to tell him like how to be smooth, and all he does is get embarrassed.
So he should do
yeah,
the
of course
exact
he is.
I'm working it in there. No, I'm working it in there. No, you know what he said? I'm going because my friends are going, and we're going to do Fortnite dances all night. I'm like, you're going to look like a fool doing Fortnite
what
dances.
What is he, in fifth grade?
Yep.
That's what you...
Yes, as he screams upstairs that he killed someone with a headshot.
That's what you, listen. That's what, when I was in when I, my first dance was in fifth grade. And what we did was we would play basketball with the balloons while all the girls were dancing until one of us got the courage
had
enough
the
to
balls.
Dance with them, and then we all kind of joined in. So listen, the kids listen. Let them start with Fortnite dances. Then they'll work their way in. The girls play the Fortnite, don't they?
Yeah, some of them do. They're just not very good, Kev, because they're girls.
That's right.
Wow.
Wow. I didn't even know what I was saying that's right to until after I heard it. Wow. I was like, no, that's so not right.
Wow, that seems a bit.
Listen, all the girls, they're getting their own pay-per-view this Sunday.
They are.
Oh, speaking of pay-per-views, apparently there's going to be an announcement about Crown Jewel tomorrow. Because as we've mentioned before, they have not been plugging the fact that it's in the Saudi Arabian, however they say it, the nation of Saudi Arabia. What's
the kingdom?
Right. I have kingdom.
Thought I read somewhere tickets went on sale, but when you go to the website, you can't get the tickets.
Yeah, so there might be a change of venue. We're not quite sure yet, but there's going to be
take
an announcement.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Like, well, I mean, everybody's been saying that they're going to make a decision tomorrow. What the decision is, we don't know.
Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, the one and only Jimmy Rave. Jimmy, you're with Matt, Kevin, and Tony
Jimmy!
Of the Shining Wizards. How are you tonight, sir?
What's going on, guys? How are you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm doing well.
So you reached out to us a little earlier today, and it seems like the wrestling business has caught up with you. CZW, Jordan Oliver. Unfortunately, Jimmy Rave is on the shelf. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you, sir.
Yeah. So, I've been doing a lot of wrestling seminars lately. I did one, and a young man headbutted me, and it just caused a whole bunch of damage to my face. I ended up breaking like two of my teeth, and so I had this large oral surgery coming up. So, that's basically what happened.
I wish you had told me it was like an oral thing. I wouldn't have asked you to call in because I'm sure this hurts like a mother to be talking, man.
I'm sorry.
Jimmy,
apologize.
No. It's all good, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime we can help a fellow brethren in the wrestling community, we'd love to. Tell the fans what exactly is going on with you.
I have pro wrestling tees, / Jimmy Rave that anybody can go and purchase my stuff at. People can hit me up personally. I have pictures and DVDs for sale. But other than that, I'm still trying to power through this. I've wrestled injured plenty of times in my career. I wrestled with my jaw broken for 5 weeks in Ring of Honor. This is another thing I have to power through. So,
absolutely. And let me ask you this: how common is that with wrestlers when they when they're hurt. There's in like sports you could play hurt, but you can't play injured. What's the difference between hurt and injured in professional wrestling?
So I've been wrestling for 19 years now, and I've only taken off for injuries at the most 6 weeks for that 19 years. And so, and that's wrestling at a high level for most of that time. And so, so wrestling hurt is, something we often do. And you know, even wrestling injured is, something we often do. I've just kind of been the kind of person that has always, just tried to, you know, power through whatever I'm dealing with. Sometimes to my own detriment. There's probably been some times that I've probably needed to take more time off than I have, but I've chosen not to. And that's what gets us here today.
And it's totally understandable, especially with professional wrestlers. You know, no one, and I guess it's like that with all sports, nobody wants to sit out. You have that desire. You have that it's almost like inbred in you that you have to perform. Is that something that wrestlers feel most of the time, that like they have to go out there, like they can't, they not, it's not about losing the spot. It's just about, is there an ego involved? Is there a reputation involved?
Absolutely. I mean, you're out of sight, you're out of mind. You know what I mean? Like that's definitely how it is. But oftentimes, the way that our contracts work in pro wrestling, any contract I've had in pro wrestling, if I did not perform, I did not get paid. And so, that's always been something that's been an issue.
Yeah, and this, we actually just had, I think it was last week, we had your former tag team partner, Lance Hoyt, on the show. Do you have any...
Oh, I'm sorry you guys had to deal with him.
Yeah, okay, well, then... I appreciate that for sure, and we definitely want to go back to what you have going on. But do you have any funny or any memorable Lance Hoyt stories or any the Rock and Rave connection stories?
I've got tons of stories about Lance Hoyt. There was one time that we were tagging in Texas, and Lance, he's gonna kill me for telling this story, but we were wrestling in Texas for a TNA house show, and we were wrestling LAX, and Lance had forgotten what we were gonna do to start the match, and I ended up just rolling in because I remember what we were gonna do, and then somebody, I'm not gonna name names, but somebody put their GPS in Lance's bag and told him that was for the next time he got lost in the ring.
little harmless jab, right?
That was awesome.
I'll tell you guys who it was. It was Earl Hebner that did that. And he had told me where he was going to do it while I was in the ring. It was pretty hilarious.
We just finished talking about Earl.
We Earl Hebner an abacus, so he learns how to count to three in a steady cadence.
Earl Hebner's great. I love him.
Being at one point in your career involved with the NWA, are you happy with the resurgence, and is there a possibility that in the future Jimmy Rave might be resurfacing in the NWA?
Absolutely. I'm a former NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion two times, and so the NWA is something I've always held near and dear to my heart. I'm super happy. It looked like the 70th show was really well received. The guys that were involved are like, tremendous talents. And so you never know where I'm going to pop up. I'm kind of all over the place right now.
Yeah, it's good to hear that you're staying busy, and we definitely want to help get you healed up. We will put out your PayPal information after the episode, just so if people are interested, they can drop you, donate a couple bucks, or if they want to buy an 8x10 or a T-shirt. Again, prowrestlingtees.com/JimmyRave is where you can get all your Jimmy Rave stuff. You've been doing a lot of stuff in CZW lately, and I mentioned Jordan Oliver. What do you think of the turn that CZW has made, strictly known as a very hardcore death match company, and then the last couple of years with the help of David Starr, who I saw he put you over the other day. He said you're his favorite wrestler. What is that? You know, being a part of that transition where CZW is now an amazing company to work for. What's that like for you?
So I wrestled for CZW for a long time. early in my career, like from 2002 to about 2005. And then we actually had like a great mix of deathmatch and technical wrestlers. You had myself, Alex Shelley, Chris Hero, you know, Roderick Strong, Sanjay Dutt, you know, Jimmy Jacobs. There was a whole bunch of guys that didn't just do deathmatch wrestling, but we were also great, you know, technical wrestlers. And I see that happening with CZW now. I actually just left the CZW training school. It's a, you know, they're doing great things there. David Starr is the man. He was there in person for myself and Jordan Oliver last week, and he's actually wrestling Jordan Oliver tomorrow night at Dojo Wars. And so, like, that's going to be something to check out. I might come through and watch that.
Well, something to check out is your Twitter and your pro wrestling tees. I wish we had more time for you, Jimmy, but we are winding down the show. But we did want to give you an opportunity to jump on, tell people what you have going on, and if you can send us the link to your PayPal, we'll make sure we put it out there. And if you guys can support and help Jimmy in any way, if you're a fan in Ring of Honor, TNA, his independent stuff, CZW, every dollar counts.
Goddamn
if you
right.
can donate a dollar, great. Help Jimmy get this oral surgery. God, I feel bad that I asked to interview you because you have your mouth is all banged up, man. Again, at the Jimmy Rave on Twitter, prowrestlingtees.com/Jimmy Rave. Jimmy, before we let you go, anything you'd like to tell your fans?
Just thank you for all the support that you guys have given me all over the years. I really appreciate it all. And I'm still out here kicking around.
God Jimmy, right. It's been a pleasure, man. We'll catch up with you.
I'd like to have him on again, like, for a longer time.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
We'll set something up. Again, this was a last-minute thing. We wanted to get Jimmy on here and get his story out there. Jimmy, we'll touch base through the Twitter and everything. We'll set something up in the near future, okay?
Sounds good, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks, have a good Jimmy. Night.
Thanks.
All right, you guys too.
Thank you, brother. Jimmy Rave, everybody, at the Jimmy Rave on Twitter, prowrestlingtees.com/Jimmy Rave. Give him a follow. Great to hear from Jimmy. I wish I knew that it was an oral thing, and I just would have told him.
Yeah,
to just
good job, Dick.
Send me all the information. I feel bad.
Oral thing, good job, Dick. You guys couldn't have scripted that.
I mean,
if
he's still going
to
wrestling practice, though, I guess it can't be that, or if he's just there watching, maybe.
Did he say he broke two cheeks?
No, orbital. Two teeth.
Oh,
his
two
orbital.
Teeth. I'm like, what? Two cheeks?
Unless I heard it wrong.
I could have been
wrong,
too.
No, I think he
said
teeth.
Okay. I thought I heard cheeks.
Well, listen,
I don't know.
Like,
I'm getting old, Kev.
We're not kidding ourselves. Wrestling is a fucking tough-ass business. So, like,
absolutely.
So, like, there's no shame in, like, asking people to, like, buy. If you have a store, why wouldn't you ask people to buy from your store?
Yeah.
Just do it.
Absolutely.
And if you can get the word out, get the word out. Fuck it. No shame in that.
Donate a dollar. Donate two. You can help Jimmy Rave. Greatly appreciate it. As I
or
throw
if you
up,
have $2,
put
one and one. One with Jimmy Rave and one with the Shining Wizards Patreon account.
There you go. Speaking of Patreon, we've got questions from our Patreon supporters.
Good.
If you'd like to join in the fun, go to patreon.com/wizardspodcast to get in on the action. And our first question is from Manny Crozzo.
Crozzo.
Someone opens a wrestling promotion. What would your job be if they decide to hire the Shining Wizards? I would think Matt is doing backstage interviews. I know that's Kevin's forte, but I'd love to hear Matt stammer all night.
That'd be terrible. That'd be what? So bad.
We're Kevin, live, pal.
Since Kevin's got the mic skills, Kevin would be the perfect ring announcer, and I'll do commentary. That's the way I see it.
I would like to be a producer.
Ooh, like a Bruce Pritchard. Like headsets?
I would like to be like, not a match per se, but like to get the timing down of a show and to just like make sure everything runs fluidly, which I've kind of done.
I like it.
But like, if it was an on-camera role, definitely ring announcer or commentator.
Yeah, just
probably.
Keep Kevin away from pressing the button to play songs.
Listen, I've never ruined a Rawway show. Actually, it's not true at all.
Can I just do social media?
Oh, really? What are you going to be, Joey Styles?
He's going to be, what's his name? Fuck. Oh, yeah, Joey Styles.
I was thinking
Don. Who was the guy from TNA?
Don Callis.
Don West?
Yeah, Don West.
Yeah.
Be dialing, people.
Be dialing. What? Oh, I suck. Fuck, motherfucker. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. You need a dump button for me.
Oh, yeah.
No,
oh,
I'm
God.
Terrible in front of a microphone. I shouldn't even be doing this podcast.
I'm
good at booking guests.
Yeah. You're like the
a producer.
Executive producer. He's like the Bischoff.
Oh, God. Yes. This is Matt. And now we're going to throw it to Matt. Yeah, but. And then, but oh, boo. Oh, shit. That was a great question.
That was a great question.
I like that question.
We could do a whole episode on that question.
Here we go.
All right.
This one's from Dan Rusinello. I'm surprised he didn't ask you the other day at ShopRite when you ran into
BFF.
Him. There are rumors Jericho, JR, and the Bucks are starting their own wrestling promotion. If you could pick one wrestler from each Raw, SmackDown, NXT to be a part of that promotion, who would you pick?
All right, Raw, SmackDown, NXT?
Yes.
One wrestler, not a tag team. One singular wrestler.
Really?
Are we talking like part-timers or are we talking all-dayers?
One wrestler is all it was said. So yes. You could pick okay. a part-timer.
I'll go first.
All okay. Right.
If you said we can be a part-timer?
Yeah, anyone, a wrestler.
Kevin doesn't understand.
Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
AJ Styles.
Good.
Adam Cole.
That's a good
Baby.
Call.
Baby!
That's a good call.
All right. Tony, to you.
Ooh, or maybe
I'll start with NXT because he's fresh in my mind. I would take Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
Let's see. From Raw, I would probably go with Braun Strowman. And SmackDown, The Miz.
Oh, how did I forget The Miz?
Because wow. you're The Miz.
How did I forget wow. Zach Ryder?
Matthew?
How did I forget Curt Hawkins?
My life
is really?
In shambles.
I do love that our post last week for, post up pics of your favorite jobbers. That
was a highly successful
Jamie
one,
Silverberg.
Fucking Jay Silva puts up Curt Hawkins. I knew it was coming. I kind of figured it would be coming from him. I just waited for it. I couldn't stop laughing.
An NXT, I would go Velveteen Dream.
I was going to say, I was like, not a fan, but I thought of that right when I was. He's probably the most over person in wrestling.
You would take Punishment Martinez?
He's not there. He hasn't done anything
kinda,
yet.
Whatever. Sorry. Keep going. It's right.
NX Corbin.
You take Riddle, but he hasn't. He just made his TV
true.
Debut
yeah,
in the tapings.
All right.
You would take Riddle to solidify your entire show to start a company with? You would take Riddle?
Riddle's over, dude.
Would I? Yes, absolutely.
Out of everyone on NXT, you take Riddle?
I took Ciampa because he's a monster heel. I took Braun because he's a monster. I took The Miz because he's an
asshole.
Well,
I took Velveteen Dream because he's really good and he's young.
He's okay.
good. He's really fucking good. And he's a younger guy, so
you wouldn't
I
take
no disrespect to Riddle. By
you wouldn't take any of the women. Well, we didn't take any women. That's
because we're misogynists.
No, they're yes.
Paige here.
They're the fucking worst.
Wow, we have 5 minutes left
Raw,
on the rant.
Raw, I would take Elias. So I think Elias has he has something almost like The Rock.
He's like the Ronnie Burton of WWE.
He is not like Ronnie Burton.
Really?
No disrespect to Ronnie Burton.
None whatsoever. Still have that Ronnie Burton guitar pick right there.
And he probably still has that scar in the back of his head.
And
oh, my God, that was nasty.
Yeah, he got fucked up. And SmackDown, Almas.
Oh, I like that pick.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I want to go. You got to think.
You got to think youth, and I went 2 out of 3. I went really old.
Yeah, because I'm looking like long term.
I didn't. Okay. I overshot the question in terms of just who, like, If today, like right now,
right,
overshooting is a
no,
problem.
No, but that's good because if you're gonna start, you need the names. You need the name recognition.
That's
no,
why I went with Brock.
Like you
AJ.
Saw it with TNA. No one was going to TNA, and then they got Kurt Angle and Sting and Hardy, and it kind of had Hogan for like a couple weeks. But then
was that rumor shot down? By the way, the whole JR.
I think so.
And but remember when like a while ago, I would always say, imagine you get one fucking billionaire oil tycoon that just has to have the right meeting with the right people,
sugar,
and you can get. It. And if JR knows all those little people, that, all the Oklahoma, Texas people, JR and Jericho, that's a meeting I'd sit down with if I was a billionaire.
Sure.
Oklahoma's known for oil.
You see Cody's Instagram post?
No.
Where he's going to.
Wait, I thought Cody didn't have Instagram.
Yeah, Cody has Instagram.
Didn't he say, I don't do Instagram because I'm an adult? Or was that years ago?
It might have been years
ago.
Or
he said, I do Instagram because I'm adult.
Oh my God!
Nothing.
Oh, boo!
Wow.
Where he said he was gonna. He lost the title and he's disappointed, but he's transitioning into a new role, and he's gonna fulfill his final dates with Ring of Honor because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Tim Storm gets his rematch. I can't wait.
Tim Rhodes.
Can't wait. Nick Aldis.
Tim Rhodes.
He's coming.
Cody Aldis. Nick Storm.
Coming for you.
Do we want to bang out this Women's Evolution show predictions?
We have 2 minutes for the rant. Can we do it?
Yes. Can I just make one quick suggestion real quick? Watch 205 Live from this past week. The five-way dance with Lio Rush, Tony Nese.
Lio Rush doing what he's meant to do.
Graham Metalik. Who else is on? Whatever. The five-man match. Watch it. It was an amazing match. And then NXT was great too. With you had the double main event with the War Raiders versus the Undisputed Era, with Bobby Fish made his return physically, beat him up with the cage, and you had Bianca Belair with Nikki Cross and Aleister Black interfered in that match.
I thought this was quick. Jesus.
But now you have Aleister Black and now Nikki Cross are going to go into who beat him up.
So. All right, come on, Matt. Let's
watch
rip
it.
Through.
All right, this is Evolution taking place Sunday.
You can go long on the rant. Who we can?
On pay-per-view.
I'm giving you 2 minutes.
All right, ready predictions. Sasha Banks, Bayley, Natty against the Riot Squad.
Riot Squad's got to win. They
Riot
need
Squad.
Wins. They need wins.
Riot
Squad. Hopefully Bayley and Sasha.
All right,
well,
I thought, and you're yelling at me for my review? You got to go through a whole...
Well, you told us about Nikki Cross for 20 minutes. I can't give my opinion?
No.
All right, the Women's Battle Royal.
I don't even know who's in it.
Tamina, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Dana
Alicia
Brooks,
Fox.
Asuka, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Carmella, Lana, Naomi, Tori Wilson, Michelle McCool, Alundra Blaze, Ivory, Kelly. Maria Kanellis, Molly Holly, Zelina Vega.
I'll go Zelina Vega. I don't know, but she's still have a manager.
Alicia kinda. Fox.
I like Ember Moon.
Right, that's a good next. Call. I was actually going to say Naomi, but I
would go with Tamina, but I want Alicia Fox.
I'll still say Zelina.
Just to prove a point.
Trish Stratus lead against the Bliss and Mickie James.
Bliss and Mickie James have to win.
I'm going Trish and Lita.
No, they're going to
like
ruin.
It. I like Matt going against the grain.
Spoiler alert! Finals of the Mae Young Classic, which is going to air tomorrow night. Toni Storm against Io Shiria.
No idea. Not even predict.
Io Shirai.
There you go. I don't know the ladies. Toni Storm.
I go with the Asian lady.
Tim Storm.
Nice.
Tim Storm always wins.
Yep. Rhea Ripley is the UK Women's Champion. She's defending it against To Be Determined. So
To Be Determined.
Tim Storm.
I like Rhea Ripley to retain.
Tim Storm.
Kairi Sane against Shayna Baszler for
Kairi
NXT
Sane.
Women's Champion.
Nope.
Kairi
I like Baszler getting it back.
Kairi Sane retains.
Yeah. No, because Baszler Nikki Cross is money. After this whole thing, I like Baszler.
Yeah.
The real main event, in my opinion, the last woman standing match, Becky and Charlotte.
Becky. Becky 100% all day, every day.
Goddamn, Tony.
She's a fucking
I agree
kicker.
With him, but I'm not going to be that emphatic
nope.
about it.
Somebody said it. Becky Lynch right now is the female Stone Cold. She can do no wrong. The people love every move she makes. And dude. I don't disagree with that.
Put a vest on her.
She needs a vest and she no, needs
who said
more
that?
Merch.
We said that.
Did we?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll co-opt it. I'll run with it.
Not the Stone Cold thing, but she doesn't get booed.
Oh,
she called out Edge on his like injury, his career-ending injury, and got
oh,
cheered.
SmackDown, right? Yeah. Yeah. And then the main event: Ronda Rousey, Nikki Bella.
Rouse, the Rouse, in
Ronda
the house.
Rousey. There's no way they put.
Are you? Are you, are you really thinking about this?
Yeah. I'm thinking Twin Magic. I'm thinking Nikki Bella wins.
No fucking.
Yeah,
way.
Money's in the chase, my friend. Oh, oi. Oh, my God.
All right, we're done. That's it. It's a wrap, right?
That's it.
Thanks to our guests tonight, Ian Riccoboni and Jimmy Rave.
And thank you to the folks at The Rant for giving us a few extra minutes, even though we just stole them and didn't tell them.
And our Patreon supporters, again, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards, shiningwizards.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/wizardspodcast. Daily questions, daily conversations at Wizards Podcast on Twitter. We are the Shining Wizards. We will be back next week. Halloween Havoc 1990, plus all your wrestling news, notes, and reviews.
And Halloween time.
Ooh, can we all dress up?
Nope.
Yes.
Not happening.
Come on. Why not, Kevin?
See ya.
Bye.